Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the place where we actually do it and we talk about it here. That time of the week. So we're glad to be here and glad you're here. So thank you for being with us. And yeah, going to be praying for people tonight, praying over offerings a lot, and doing that kind of thing. So if you want to give tonight, you're welcome to do that. You know, if you need the link, we can send you a quick link. You can give a dollar, you can give $1,000, you can give whatever you want to give. Do it happily if you can. All right? Okay, so we're going to get ready here a little bit and take over the airways with the prophetic and do the thing that we do. So we're so grateful to God to be able to do it. Yeah. So awesome, awesome, awesome. Hope you're doing well tonight. And if you are, you know, we'll be praying for you in just a little bit. And if you give tonight, we'll be praying over your offering. And looking forward to doing that. You know, every Thursday we do that. Over offerings. Yeah. It's really, really cool. Okay. Awesome. Going to be taking communion tonight too, so don't forget about that one. Communion night. Yes, it is. So we're going to do it. Yeah. Okay. So much to talk about. I've got a lot of new things on my head, on my mind, on my brain. And, we're going to be looking forward to that in a little bit. So, all right. Hang on a minute. Just kind of see what's going on. Be right there. I'm looking at some stuff here, so give me just a little bit. Give me a moment. Okay. Welcome to the show tonight. We are going to be, as always, praying for you and praying over offering specifically tonight. We have one night that we pray over everybody. If you show up doing a prayer, we pray over you. We prophesy over you. And it's really fun. Yeah, we do that every Wednesday over every person. So make sure you get in on that and enjoy that. We don't talk to a lot of people that night. We just go at it and we prophesy and we pray and we have a lot of fun. Sometimes we do it for a couple hours, sometimes 3 or 4 hours. All right, make sure and drink your water. You can hear me. I don't know if you guys. drinking that or not. I drank the whole, what is that, a 16 ounce? Yeah. 16, 17 ounces. About 5 seconds. That's because I drink a lot of water. Yeah, and you know, I really believe that that is a thing that God is teaching us to do, is how to drink a lot of water. Holy Ghost water. Yeah. And the more you do it, the more you can guzzle down. And it's really fun. Doesn't take forever. Take a drink of the Holy Ghost, take a big gulp, get lots of drinks real quick, get it in you, and go about your day. And I mean that literally. Yeah, you know, we're just really seeing a lot of things differently. I think God's really going to start showing us some amazing things kind of in a different way. So I'm really excited about that. And we're just going to see things in a whole different way, like prayer, like really seeing prayer in a completely different format. Prayer as being something that we get connect with the Lord in a fresh, you know, in the freshness of the day. And then we just, he goes with us wherever we go. Like, you know, we tag along with him and he tags along with us. It's really fun. Really, really, really fun. And in prayer, we take on prayer as a whole different kind of way of thinking about prayer. And, yeah, so I'm really excited about that. The prophetic realm is really, really different than what we think it is. I think that we're going to learn. Some of us already, those who hang around here a little bit know that. And I think that we're going to find that the people are going to become hungry for it and begin to search after the Lord for it. Yeah, I really do. All right, tonight I wanted to talk about some interesting things, some different ways of looking at the false prophet, the mark of the beast, and all that kind of thing in a little bit different fashion. So you might just give me a little bit to work through this. And because we're not only going to have the Antichrist, right, the Antichrist and the Antichrist system and how that's going to work. And we've talked about how that's going to be, they're going to change our DNA and make, and I have to listen really close to this, and I'll probably repeat it as I usually do, repeat myself a bunch of times. It's just what I do a lot, and maybe I need to hear it more. But, yeah, so we're going to touch a little bit on something maybe you've never heard. I know I've never heard this before. So I'm going to break some bread with you tonight about a way that I'm starting to get a glimpse into the glory of God of how to, you know, if you don't know what you're, what the enemy's trying to do to trip you up as a Christian, not trip you up as a heathen, because we're not heathen, right? We're not lost. We're found. We know you. We're children of the light, children of the day. We're not children of the night. So I'm not talking about stuff about children of the day, I mean of the night, lost people. I'm talking about children of the day. I'm talking about born-again believers. How is the enemy going to try to trip us up? And we've been talking a bit about that in some different ways about how that, you know, even Peter, when Peter was oppressing Jesus, that's what I call it, oppressing him with his doctrinal belief and his prophetic belief about how Jesus was not going to die, but he was going to rule the throne of David. That was Isaiah. What did we say that was? Isaiah 9 last night? Isaiah 9? Isaiah 9, 7, I think, where it says that, you know, prophesies, Isaiah prophesied that the Messiah will sit on the throne of David forever, and they believed that that meant once the Messiah came that he would rule on the throne of David forever, somehow or another. They believed that. They passed that around. So when Gabriel, the angel, comes and talks to the Virgin Mary and tells her about what she's going to be doing, he mentions that. He speaks about that, Isaiah 9:7. It says, you know, you're going to bear forth the son of the Messiah, the Son of God, and he's going to, you know, and then, he basically quotes Isaiah 9:7, saying that he shall rule the throne of David forever. So, you know, she's going around telling people that. She's telling people, yeah, it's true what we have believed all these years, because the angel Gabriel told me that that's the way it is. That he's a little, so I think that the reason they had a hard time with him dying and him going to the cross and dying was because of that belief system and that scripture. They had scripture for it. And just to show you how we can believe a scripture and sit there and tell the Messiah to his face, you know, like any of us could do, right? Tell him, no, Jesus, you know, you're just kind of mixed up right now. You're not going to die. You're going to rule on the day, don't you know? Isaiah 9:7. And so the enemy, Satan, obviously was, there's not a scripture quoted there, but you know that Peter was a good Jew. I mean, he was raised in a Jewish family. He was a good Jew. And he knew what they taught. And so it doesn't say that he quoted a scripture and tells you, you're not going to die because Isaiah 9:7, but that's what he's referring to, Isaiah 9:7. And so who's behind him quoting that scripture or saying that scripture without quoting the scripture? You're going to rule over, you're not going to die. It's Satan. So we know we have one scripture that we know for sure in the wilderness when he tempted him to jump off the temple, high corner of the temple, where we know there were a lot of angels around the temple, right? Of course there were. And said, so, yeah, Jesus, you're in a safe place. Jump off this thing. And use our favorite scripture. When you know that Satan used yours and mine, favorite scriptures. Isn't that just absolutely mind-boggling? You think about that. Think about that. Man, I mean, it's mind-boggling. How that, you know, Satan's using, you know, when you mention Psalm 91 to somebody, you know, you prophesy to somebody and you mention Psalm 91, they go, oh, yeah, that's one of my favorite scriptures. If you mention it, they'll usually say something about it. A lot of times, because it's a very well-known scripture. Well, guess who uses it on Jesus? And it's probably one of Jesus' favorite scriptures. You know, who doesn't like Psalm 91, right? So I'm not coming out of my dwelling. You know, a thousand shall fall at my right hand, 10,000 my side, but it shall not come near, you know. So, I mean, you know, and on it goes about the secret place of the Lord. And, you know, it's a beautiful, amazing scripture. And what does Satan pick out? That one. So you think he's not going to use one of your favorite scriptures, friend, to convince you to do something stupid? I mean, just outright ignoramus, dumb, but it ain't going to look dumb. It's going to look scriptural, right? And we're all into angels, and I mean, you see all these shows on Sid Roth and all that. They're pretty cool shows. I'm not criticizing the show about the angels, and they, you know, and you know, around the temple, you know, where Satan was tempting him to do it, there were just angels everywhere. Jesus probably could see them, you know. I don't know. And so here he is using one of most people's favorite scripture that they probably quote every time they have something, some disease, some issue coming near their child or their children or their family or their finances or whatever it is. Psalm 91. Yeah. Shall not come nigh my dwelling. That's one of my favorite ones. Yeah. Who's using that? The devil. So it just shows you that you think the devil ain't going to use one of your favorite ones? I guarantee you, he already has. And using the most people who love you. I'm not saying these people are bad people. Peter was not a bad person, right? Peter loved Jesus all the way. I mean, no doubt. He later died for him. So we're not talking about people that are bad people, evil people. No, I mean, the devil will use anybody. Yeah. So this is really big on God's heart right now. Really big on God's heart. That's why I'm talking about it a lot, I know. Because when he gets into me about something and I can't get off of it, it's because he's trying to help us prepare. He uses me to prepare the way. I'm used to prepare the way. So one of the things that we do is prepare the way. So even though there was no scripture quoted when Peter was telling Jesus, you know, you can't die. Let's go look at that scripture just for a second. Y'all want to do that? Y'all with me tonight? Hope you are. Let's look at that. all you have to put in there, Google, is get behind me, right? It just shows up everywhere. Yeah, I put get behind, and that's all I put in there. And it comes up with get behind me. Everybody knows this scripture. All right, Bible Hub, here we go. Matthew 16, verse 23. That's just better than I thought. This is better than I thought. I haven't read it in a while. I just, you know, I get these scriptures and then I don't read them. So I just go through my memory, which I probably shouldn't do. But 16:23. Okay, let's look at this. I love this, man. This is so awesome. All right. Okay, so let's look at verse 21. We're going to talk about communion tonight too, right, later. So this is where Jesus predicts his death and his resurrection. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders, the priests, and the scribes, and be killed and be raised the third day. All right, so he's telling them one more time. You got to read this to believe it. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. Watch this. Oh, this is hilarious. Then Peter takes him aside. He didn't want to embarrass him in front of everybody. Right? So Peter takes Jesus aside. Master, can you come over here just for a second? You know, he's thinking, I don't want to embarrass you in front of everybody. I know you're having a hard day. Things are going rough. It's been rough. A lot of people fighting you. You know, and I know sometimes you forget stuff or something. I'm not sure what your deal is, but he says he takes verse 22. What a treasure scripture there, verse 2022. This is a 2022 scripture if I've ever seen it. How many of you have ever wanted to take some preacher or some prophet, take him to the side privately and say, now, Prophet Randy or Prophet whoever, Prophet somebody else on PGN or Prophet somebody else not on PGN, let me, you know, I got some things I want to tell you about. And it says, and Peter took Jesus aside, so nice of him, and began to rebuke him. He was rebuking the Lord. That's what it says, rebuke. And you ever wanted to rebuke a prophet or rebuke somebody, you know? Yeah. Far be it from you, Peter says. Lord, this shall not happen to you. He's trying to protect him. But he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but of the things of men. What were the things of men that he was mindful of? What was he, you know, mindful of thinking of? Some scriptures say favors the things of men. What was he thinking about? He was thinking about this scripture, Isaiah 9:7. Well, he wasn't saying it. But everybody knew what was taught. Even Jesus knew they taught that about the Messiah. Isaiah 9:7 is a big one. We quoted it last night. You know, where Gabriel, Isaiah prophesied that, you know, the Messiah, when he comes, is going to rule on the throne of David forever. So they believe that, you know, he's not going to die. And this is what this is all coming from. This is coming from Isaiah 9. So basically, even though there's not a scripture being said, everybody knows Isaiah 9:7. So he's actually saying to him, Peter, you're not mindful of the scriptures that I have from God, but you're mindful of the scriptures that men say of the scriptures of God, Isaiah 9:7. So you're thinking about Isaiah 9:7 according to what men think it means, according to what your teachers think it means. But you're not seeing it the way God's showing me. And then he goes on and talks about take up your cross and follow me. And I don't want to get into that right now. But you see here, friend, he's really, even though he wasn't quoting scripture, because everybody in this scripture, Satan, get behind me, Satan, he says, verse 23. Get behind me, Satan. So who was quoting the scripture again or bringing it up knowing what the scripture was? Satan knew what they all taught. So Satan is telling Peter, remember what men say about Jesus, what your teachers have said, what Isaiah 9:7 says.
and what your teachers say about Isaiah 9:7, I want you to tell Jesus that. So he takes him aside and rebukes him with the, basically with the scripture. Who was behind him, oppressing him to give him that scripture? It was a scriptural reference to Isaiah 9:7. And Jesus says, Satan, get behind me. He knew exactly who was misrepresenting that scripture. It was Satan. Satan knew Peter believed that. Satan knew Peter was a good Jew. He knew that. So anyway, so you see what we're saying tonight, friend, that we must have the mind of God. I'm talking about every one of us because, you know, I deal with this stuff. We all deal with it. I'm learning this because God's trying to correct me too. He's trying to help me, trying to show me, trying to open my eyes. You know, and I'm, as a prophet, I get information that, you know, you hear other men saying, you know, like the Trump and the Biden election situation, you know, especially there at the very end when we were saying, you know, Trump wasn't going to win anything anymore. That really made some people mad because everybody was saying Trump was going to, even though Biden had been told he would won the election, was not official yet, but according to the new numbers. Yeah. And we were saying that it was over for Trump. I had some of you text me and say, are you trying to say Trump's not going to win? And I'm going, yeah. Yeah. I remember Mike did that. Mike texted me that. Shocked him. I said it. You know. And it was shocking. You're saying that Trump's not going to win? I said, yeah. Because I was talking about it on the show and he texted me, trying to make sure that he was understanding what I was saying. Oh, my God. How many people rebuked me over that? Well, understandable, right? Because all the other men were saying something different. So when you say something out of the box and you're quoting something that God says, I'm shifting gears, that prophetic word is not going to apply for the second term because God's shifting gears and doing something new, but they couldn't see it. Just like Peter couldn't see it. Peter couldn't see it. Didn't mean he was a bad person, right? Didn't mean that. There is kind of an example of something that I'm talking about. All right, so I'm kind of warming you up a little bit because I'm teaching I may blow your mind here in just a few moments. So I hope you still love me after this. I'm sure you will. But it may be questionable for some. I don't know. Hallelujah. All right. I know you'll be rebuking me behind. It's okay. It's all right. I've already rebuked myself a few times over some things, so we're all used to it, right? All right. So, all right. How can I go there? Oh, my God. Let me just kind of get some of this info to you. Give me just a moment. Okay, here we go. All right, John 10:33. You might want to go there. If not, you can just trust me. I'm going to read it to you. John 10:33. Turn the Bible. John 10:33. I want you to see, because we're talking tonight about 666, believe it or not. We're really talking about the false prophet. All right, that's mainly what we're talking about tonight. God wants to open our eyes tonight a little more on what the false prophet, not the Antichrist so much, as the false prophet, the false church. Some people think it's going to be the Catholic Church. You know, I don't have a word from God on that, but that makes sense to me. That makes more sense than anything I know of. The part of the Catholic Church that, you know, will not they will be blind and not be able to see. Okay, so, all right. All right, so John 10:33, it says here, I'm going to read verse 31. They took a stone to stone him, and he said, well, which one of the good works have I shown you from my Father, of which you, which one of the works you're going to stone me for? And the Jews answered him, for a good work we do not stone you. Not stoning you for a good work, but for blasphemy, and because you, now watch it, watch it. Verse 33, you being a man, make yourself God. You being a man, make yourself God. Now, that's kind of what the Antichrist is going to do, right? Now, if you're the Christ and you're doing that, then it's good. But if you're not the Christ, so what they were saying to him right there, to Jesus, you being a man, what are they going to say to the Antichrist? When he rises up in the temple, and he says, you know, a man, and he says, I am God, and all the Jews, their mouths drop open. They're going, what did you just say? Did you say you're God? He goes, yes, I'm God. And you know what they're going to say to him? They're going to say the same thing they said to Jesus. Because you being a man, make yourself God. That's why we're going to stone you. And that's probably what they're going to say to the Antichrist. He's going to go, wait a minute, I've got some temple guards here that are going to protect me. But are you seeing this? This is how it works. You being a man calling himself God, when he's really not going to be a God, which Jesus was, is going to be the Antichrist. The person that says, I'm going to be God in this end of end time, he is going to be the Antichrist, right? That's an Antichrist thing. Of course, we're talking about the church, the false prophet, the church, I'm going to call it the false church, the Antichrist church, the false prophet, the religious system. There's already has been things, and hang on to your britches, okay? Put your seatbelt on. There's already been things that have been done and said by Christian believers that I know and have respected for years that have said things that are in line with the false prophet. I'm not saying they are the false prophet or the false church. I want to make it really clear, because when I tell you, I'm going to talk about some of the same people I always talk about, because I don't want to stir up any more than I already have. But I'm going to show you something here that the evangelical church, which I'm not calling the false prophet church yet, has done, and you see the big flickers, big signs, that this Antichrist, this prophet, now think about that, false prophet church, which some people think could be the Catholic Church, you know, and they're going to join with every religion and blah, blah, blah. But right now what I'm talking about people who are among you and me. I'm talking about maybe some of us who have listened to some of this stuff like I have and have tried to believe it because, you know, I respected these people very highly, and now that I'm getting my eyes opened, I'm seeing that what they are doing is creating theology and belief systems which pervade most of the body of Christ, most of the charismatic body of Christ has been inundated with this teaching, with this stuff, including myself and including probably most of you. Now you need to get ready because, you know, I'm going to show you something. What has happened to the hyper faith movement is that they have Kenneth Copeland, who I'm not calling a false prophet, and I'm not calling him a leader of the false prophet church. yet taught things that we have discussed a little bit, that now I'm going to point it very specifically to something that has to do with the 666 or the mark of the false prophet and the false prophet spirit and the false prophet church. Okay, I'm going to share with you some of the theories and theologies that are anti-Christ prophet information. Okay, now you know how we have talked about Kenneth Copeland before. I'm not calling him a false prophet, right? Or the leader of the false church, the beast. From the false prophet. I'm not saying that he's the false prophet or has anything to do with that at this point. I'm saying that we're going to see how you and I have, without knowing it, ignorantly, have partaken of this theology and are going to have to be cleansed and washed of it, and we are being cleansed and washed of it. I am, and I'm going to be real upfront about, you know, my belief. What I tried to believe with this, because what Kenneth Copeland was trying to do, Kenneth Copeland was trying to make God, and much like Oral Roberts did, and Oral Roberts is my favorite, right? I guess you guys are going to understand it. Oral Roberts kind of started this. I don't know that he taught it like Kenneth did, but Oral Roberts said God is a good God, and the church needs to start seeing God as a good God instead of a God of wrath, you know, or just that's all, the only way they see him, and they see him as the God of killing people, and the God of making people sick, and the God of, you know, killing people and making people sick, basically. All right? So he was trying to, in a very, you know, nice way, trying to get people to start seeing God as a good God, so they would quit trying to think God was trying to kill them and that God was trying to heal them. Right? You see what I'm saying? It was a basic theory, which was pretty cool, and I liked it. I liked it. Now, Kenneth Copeland, having been raised up under Oral and others, took it maybe to the next level, and I want you to see this, and I want you to watch this very closely with me. He was trying to make God into the image of a man, a good man, trying to make a good God like a good man. Instead of God being God, what Copeland was really saying without realizing it was that some of the things God says he did in the Bible was evil. And he's saying God's not evil and God's not mean and God's not destructive and God's not making you sick. He's come to heal you. He's come to bless you, which we know that that's partially, of course, it's true. Of course that's true. But I watched him over the years go through scriptures that would talk about how God, it would say that, and the Lord brought disease and sickness on Israel. You know, like in the snake in the wilderness. Remember the snakes in the wilderness where the snakes bit the people of God and they got sick and they were dying? You know, he would come up with some way how Satan did that, not God. It wasn't God's judgment. It was Satan. You know, and so he was basically saying that Satan was doing it, not God. Now, God can use Satan. So he was trying to make God a good God so that we would look at God as a good God. Makes sense in the natural, right? Nothing wrong with that in a sense. But when you start saying, when you try to start making God a good God and have to bring him down to the level of what you consider a good man would do, or what a good person would be, then you make God into a man, not Christ the man, into a human man, and saying that, you know, God doesn't make people sick, and God doesn't bring destruction on people, and God doesn't destroy things. He's only a life giver. He said, "I come to bring life," Copeland was basically doing away with scriptures, especially in the Old Testament, that had to do with God did that destructive thing. Well, he would say, well, what that's really trying to say is that Satan really did that and making people sick and, you know, that kind of that. Satan was doing that. When it clearly says, you know, God was judging, and what was happening is when he brought judgment and destruction, it was because he was a holy God. And so you can't take a holy God who deals with things the way a holy God deals with things, according to Scripture, and make him into a man, trying to make him into the image of a good man. So what Copeland was doing was making God into the form of a man, the image. Now, here we go. I'm going to get really plain with you. He was trying to put God in the image of a good man, 666, image of man. Now, I'm not saying he did this on purpose. He did it, but he was just, but this is what happens when men start taking Scripture and saying that this doesn't really mean what it says it means. It really means something different. They just didn't put it in there right. So we're going to rewrite the Scripture. And that's what Copeland basically did. He didn't really send you his Bible. He rewrote how we're supposed to look at it, so that we don't see God as some mean, angry God, but we only see God as a good God, like, you know, and making him in the image of what man thinks a good God is, instead of the way God really is, what man thinks in the image of a man, making God in the image of a man. Do you see what 666 is? 666 is an image of man, and like the Antichrist is going to show up, and he's going to like be the fullness of this thing, 666, and he's going to say, I am God. So in a sense, I'm going to be very clear and very plain spoken about this. Copeland is just the one I followed for a long time, and I love him dearly, and he's a man of God. He has a lot of good teachings, another thing. But in this particular area, he was, without knowing it, took some of Oral Roberts' teachings, who I love dearly. He didn't take it to the level that Copeland took it, as far as I know. Copeland takes it to the next level, trying to help people, being a teacher, trying to break down teaching so that people could understand God. God's not trying to kill you, man. He's not trying to make you sick. He's a good God. All those scriptures in the Old Testament, or most of them, the Old Testament says God killed, God destroyed, God made sick. That wasn't really God. Taking away God's judgment, God's wrath, the parts of God that make God look like he's pretty tough, like when he told Moses, let's just kill them all, Moses. You know, I don't know what Copeland did with that one, but I'm sure that he had some thinking on it that was, you know, saying that it really wasn't God. God would never have done that, and that's why you hear people say, oh, God, Brother Chandler, don't you know, God would have never killed all those people. Yeah, God would never kill all those people. He was just getting Moses to stand in and learn how to stand in the gap and intercede. So in other words, he's saying God would never have done that. It was just he was just faking it, because God's a good God. He would never kill his own people. He would never kill his own people. Well, who opened up when Moses? We'll talk about Moses' day for a little bit. Who opened up the earth and swallowed up thousands and thousands of Israelites who just came out of Egypt, and poor little ignorant Jewish guys who were rebelling against Moses? Those were Israelites. They weren't Egyptians. They were Israelites. Who opened up the earth and swallowed them up? Who did that? God did that. God killed his own people. I know this sounds rough, man. This sounds really rough, and I know most of you know where I'm going with it. You're hanging in there pretty good. And so we have to look at God being God because he's God. You can't explain God away and try to make him into a good man. Copeland, without realizing he was doing it, was making God into a good man, 666. And I'm not saying old Roberts is bad. Don't be taking my stuff, please, and taking it to extremes. You can if you want to, but don't say I said it. You can say whatever you want, but don't say I said it, okay? Old Brother Chandler told us that now, I'm not saying Kenneth Copeland is the false prophet. I'm saying that if he keeps going and keeps taking scripture, like what happened with Peter, Peter was not the Antichrist, it was not a false prophet, but Satan was trying to influence him to get Jesus to not die on the cross. That's what Satan was trying to get Peter to say. It was to influence Jesus and oppress him with this thing. Jesus was already struggling with going to the cross. He knew he had to go. It was a struggle. You knew he was struggling. Oh, Jesus would never struggle, Brother Chandler. He couldn't wait to lay down his life. Well, yeah, and no. Did you see at Gethsemane, he's saying, if this cup can pass from me, so what is that telling you? That's telling you that he's struggling with that. He's battling with it. It doesn't mean he's not going to do it. You can struggle with something, friend, and not want to do it, and you know, necessarily, but say, God, if you want me to do this, I will. That's the key. It's not anything wrong with saying, God, I don't want to really do this. Can this cup pass from me? Friend, that's not sin. It is not sin to do that. You're not a sinner because you want to do something that, you know, that God don't want you to do. And that's not a sin to want to do it. We talked about that many times. So when Satan was coming through Peter, Jesus was already, he was just telling him, I'm going to die. He just told them. Right? He's sitting here telling them.
Okay, here I lost my stuff.
Yeah, he's just telling about that. And he said, I'm going to go and I'm going to die, but I'm going to resurrect. You know, even though Jesus knew mentally that he was going to do it, it didn't mean that he wanted to do it. It doesn't mean that he didn't think there might be another way, because he was asking for another way. But right here he's telling them, I'm going to die on the cross, but I'm going to be resurrected. Right? We just read that. And so, yeah. All right, here we go. I'm trying to keep up with all this information. I've got a lot of it written down. So here we go. Let's start putting this together. The Jews were very concerned about Antichrist. They didn't use the word Antichrist, but you see him right here. A blasphemer calling himself God. I mean, they were concerned about that. You see, the Jews took up stones to stone him again. These answer, which one of these father's good works are you going to stone me for? And he said, but no, it's because you're blaspheming. Because you, being a man, make yourself God. Is that what the Antichrist is going to do, right? Yeah. Okay. So the reason I'm bringing that up is to kind of put you in the state of mind of what we're doing here, and how the religious church is going to take the true Christians who use scripture in the true sense, in the true way, because it's going to contradict them, because they can't see what's really going to happen. They can't really prophesy what's going to happen in the future. They have their own thing. They think what's good for America, what they think is good for the body of Christ, what they think is good, and they prophesy what they think is good and make God and all the reasoning of their prophecies make it sound like God is a good God and God is for America, just like the Jews said. We're God's favorite people. He would never do that to us. And pretty soon they were off with Nebuchadnezzar. Oh, America is – listen to the connection here, friend. America has had mission, you know, missionaries. We've given to the poor and the needy. You think God's going to take us down? I don't think so. And Trump is our savior, not our savior. I don't mean that because I like Trump. Trump is our way – our way – back into Christians having their way in America. And it's a good idea, but it's just not God's idea. It's just not God's idea. It's a good idea, So they've taken all the prophecies and justified it, saying they're trying to make God's in the image of what they're saying is best for America, and therefore they're prophesying what's best for America. And it's scripture. It has all the stuff, but it is saying the wrong thing because I say something completely different than what they say. Just like the scripture, you're not hearing from God. You're of the devil. You're just trying to bring division. That's what they said about Jesus. They're going to say about us too. Oh, well, you're saying, that ain't God. That guy that says that Biden's okay, he's in the flesh. He's of the, that's not right. That's not God. That's not God. And here I am, prophesying what God is saying. And they're not prophesying what God is saying because they're taking scripture and they're trying to make it look like God's saying he would never do this to America. God would never be bad to America because America's been so good. Just like the Jews said, God would never judge us for our sins because, we can get by with things because we're God's favorite people. We're God's favorite. Just think about how the Jews thought that. And then before they knew it, Nebuchadnezzar came and wrapped up the whole thing, tore down the temple and took the gold and silver out. And they were nothing and nobody. I mean, it didn't take long. And the reason it didn't take long because God wasn't against Nebuchadnezzar coming to take them. He was for Nebuchadnezzar coming to take them. And that's what changed everything. It didn't matter how many scriptures they had, whether they used Psalms 191 or not, over and over and over again, and all their, their temple worship stuff and the synagogue and all the offerings, the bull and the lamb they offered up, and they prayed, oh, priest, can you pray for our family that not one, it shall not come nigh our dwelling? Because Jeremiah is prophesying that it's coming nigh our dwelling, and we don't want to believe that. We're not going to believe it. Let's all gang together and believe and start speaking, and some of our prophets can start prophesying that Jeremiah is screwed up and messed up in the head. We don't want to hear that stuff. Pretty soon it didn't make any difference how many of them all agreed. All of Israel agreed together that Jeremiah was an idiot, that Jeremiah was some stupid, got something, he got a bitterness in his soul toward somebody. He's just like acting up, got his mantle in a wad. I don't know why we start using the mantle in a wad thing, but I like it, so I keep using it. Okay. So I'm trying to plant a seed here in your mind to get you to start thinking what the Word of God says, because it's going to be contrary to what those other guys are saying. Y'all, I hate to tell you that. Just like when they came to Jesus, Jesus says, what are you going to stone me for? Which good work, which true prophecy are you going to stone me for? Oh, we're not stoning you we're just going to stone you, Randy and PGN and whoever else doesn't agree with us, because you're saying something that God's just not like that. God would not do that to America. God is not going to do that. We got too many prayer warriors. We got too many people confessing Psalms 91. We're forgiven. We help missionaries everywhere. Ain't going to get. We're special. Not going to happen to us. No, sirree. We're special. Same thing as the Jews did. We're no different. Us, you and me. They say, Randy, we're stoning you because, not literally stoning me, and I don't mean they're going to try to kill me or anything. It has nothing to do with it. Trying to make a point. If somebody takes it to the extreme. So what are you guys stoning me for? What are you guys going to take me down for? What are you guys going to stop or anything? What? Oh, it's not because I did a prophesied thing and it happened. Right. It's what? What is it? Oh, because I'm saying things about God that you don't think God would ever do that to America, and especially you, because you're an American preacher. And you're giving money to missionaries, and you help Israel. Because we have Israel. There's another blasphemous teaching that they take completely out of context. We're helping Israel. Marcus Lamb was a big thing. When he was dying, this is what they said. This is what Joni said he said, which shows you how they think. Agee and all of them. It's a lot of truth to what they're saying, but he knew he was on the verge of death. Marcus Lamb knew he was on the verge of death. You know what he said? He felt something coming. He felt death coming down around him. You know what he started saying to his people around him? I heard him say it. I heard it come out of their own mouth. They said he was saying that, you know, I'm going to start helping Israel a lot more. I'm going to start blessing Israel a lot more. Like telling God that in front of the people, that his friends, his loved one, his wife, and whoever his children were, saying that to them, like, okay, we're going to start focusing on Israel more. Maybe God will have mercy on me and not let me die. Because he felt death wrapped around him, all around him. He felt it. I guarantee you he felt it. I know what he felt. Oh, I promise I'm going to help Israel more. Like that's going to, like helping Israel more is going to do away with the fact that you've been merchandising and been and are the head gatekeeper to now, I think, he being used to be the largest merchandiser of selling Jesus. And now I think, because now Copeland is no longer on Daystar, I'm on Trinity Broadcast Network. They took him off. They took him off. And now he's on Daystar, so he's the biggest merchandiser of them all. And Marcus Lamb, the head gatekeeper to all those, is the biggest merchandiser online. Oh, you know, and he knew the warnings I had. I knew all of it. Believe me, he knows, and they all know all of it. Trust me. And he's thinking in the back of his head, maybe Chandler's right. Maybe I'm not going to be around. I'm not going to be able to take Daystar into, you know, like he heard me. He knew all the prophecies. Like, he knew exactly what I was saying. They keep up with everything. They have people who watch them. Just trust me. And he knew. He's going like, he told his family, yeah, we're going to start helping Israel a whole lot more. You know, like if you say you're going to help Israel, then God's going to really just like look over all your stuff, and you can keep doing your nonsense. You can still keep sinning. Israel can still keep not letting the land rest. You know, as long as we like support the missionaries or declare that we're Jews and we're God's favorite people and we believe that, then we know God ain't going to judge us because we're his spoiled, rotten little special people, which they're not always spoiled, rotten, but they were spoiled, rotten at the time because they were doing what they wanted to do and saying that we're God's special people. And they're not ever, God's not, would never do that to us. Never. Same way with America. The American church is the same way. And it's the Antichrist false prophet spirit that has come through merchandising. I know some of you still don't believe that, still don't like that I say that. Not our PGN people, mostly. But friend, it's true. And that's why God is cleansing me of this stuff, has been for a while, of the Kenneth Copeland nature, one of the many things. Where we're trying to make God into the image of a good man. And God can't be God. And God does things that, you know, even Jesus didn't know everything the Father was going to do when he was in the earth. He said, I don't even know when I'm coming back. I don't know when the second coming is. You know, I only do what I see the Father do. The Father, you know, God deals with things in a way that man can't deal with anything. Man can't even, you can't even comprehend why God is doing what he's doing. But God does what he does because he's God. But the Kenneth Copeland teachings, trying to strip God of that, saying, well, that's not really God. Taking away part of the nature and the character of God, saying, God can't do that. He's got to be like a good man. In the image, turning God and his people's thinking toward God being a good man, and he would never do that because we can't comprehend why and how God does what he does when he deals with things severely. All right. All right. Somebody's trying to call me. 484 trying to call me from Pennsylvania. Please hang up. 484, hang up because you're trying to call me. Thank you. It's getting in my ear. Thank you. Okay. Thank you very much. Are y'all with me? I'm just getting started. I'm just getting warmed up. Wow, wait till you hear all this and how God is looking at it and not like Peter. Peter was oppressing. He took Jesus aside, rebuked him, and telling him what people were saying about what he's supposed to do. If they understood the scripture better than Jesus did, though he was the scripture, he was the person that all the scripture was talking about. And he knew what he was going to be doing. He knew he was going to die. He knew that Isaiah 9:7 had nothing to do with him at that time, had to do with him in the future, in his second coming. You know, just like us, we do the same thing. We get those scriptures all mixed up, all messed up. Preacher, rapture, people got so many things so screwed up. It's unbelievable. If I ever get upset enough to look at it in details, it'll blow somebody else's mind. I haven't gone there yet. Some of their thinking is just like, it's just crazy as far as contradicting what God is saying. And how they savor, Peter, he said, you think more about the things of man, you know, concerning God's word, the way man interprets things, and you're not interpreting things the way God interprets things. Peter, I'm sorry. Satan, get behind me. Because it was Satan doing it. Why? Because Satan, when Satan does it with the word or with scripture, he uses it to distract you. He uses it to get you to do anything but the will of God, and gives you Bible verse to confirm to you that it's God, when it ain't God at all. I'm talking about you, me, all of us. I mean, I'm not talking about all the bad Kenneth Copeland people. I'm not even, that has nothing to do with what I'm saying. I'm not calling Kenneth Copeland bad. And I want y'all to start getting off. And I know most of my PGM friends understand that stuff, but I'm explaining it to other people who come in new. I never did like Kenneth Copeland anyway. He's really sorry. No, I'm not doing it. Now, little by little, as we unfold this thing, I will tell you that if Kenneth Copeland does not repent of that and burn those books, those particular books, and repent of that teaching, that God's going to deal with him severely. I'm not saying he's going to hell or anything. I'm just saying he's going to deal with him severely. He's an old man, and he's doing, I saw him today on TV. He looks really good. He's getting really old. You can tell he's fumbling around and stumbling a little bit, you know, here and there, like you do when you get older. But he's really awesome. He looks great. Dyes that hair brown. I mean, it looks really cool. It really does look nice. But all that is a deception as far as, you know, I'm not saying he's deliberately, willfully deceiving, but so we've got to have our eyes open up to this, friend. We've got to have our eyes open at this. And God is opening up my eyes, and as he opened up my eyes, I'm telling you guys about it. I'm not sitting here saying I got this together. I'm saying I'm getting it. And as I'm getting it, I just share it with you freely. Prophet system, the false church system, is going to take God's word and make it into the image of a man. In other words, what man says about it. What does man say about the scripture? That's what the false church is going to do in the false church system. The false prophet and the false prophet of the false church is going to take God's word, you know, just like Satan did and Peter did. Satan told Peter, you know, told Christ Jesus, if you will, and making God's word into the image of a man. In other words, what man says about it, 666. The same system, because it's anything that's not God, is Jesus said, he told some of his Jewish people who, you know, Jews are God's, you know, chosen people, and he said, man, your father's a devil. He just came right out and said it. He said, now we're Abraham's children. No, your father, he's the devil. That's like, whoa, my Lord and my God. What pure truth and what pure love coming out of that man. Telling them the truth, nailing them right between the head, eyes, not to hurt them, but to awaken them, because he loved them. Even like Paul the Apostle said, he said, "I would be if my brethren would come to Christ, I would be cursed." Paul the Apostle says in Romans 9, he says, "I would be cursed for my brethren's sake." For them, if they would come to Christ. I'm not quoting that exactly right, but that's what he said. He said, I would be accursed from Christ. From Christ. He said, I would be accursed from Christ. What positive thinking person would ever say that? None. You would never say that. I know a lot of Christians that wouldn't say that. Paul was about the only one that could really say that, I think, and say it and be, you know, saying it right. Cursed from Christ for my brother's sake. He loved the Jewish brethren. Jesus even more so loved them. He's not telling them those things to, you know, just to make them mad, provoking them. Think about what they are and what they're doing. And that's my job too. Part of my job. Maybe it's part of your job. I don't know. All right, so we're going to take it from there. I have talked about it. I've broken the ice on it, and we will little by little begin to open up more and more about it, and you'll start seeing that what God is saying to me about the whole thing. It's really cool. All right. All right, let's move on. I think y'all still love me. You sure you do? All right, so let's go through here and begin to open up the scripture, or open up the scripture. We're going to open up. We're going to take communion and open up the scripture while we do that. All right. We're just preparing the way so you can. I'm giving this to you in little bitty nuggets so that you can be able to receive it. All right. Gonna get pretty heavy. Y'all ready for heavy? Heavy revies. We're gonna open up the scripture and hope you can grasp it. I hope I can grasp it. I am grasping it somewhat. And we're gonna believe God to really set us free and cleanse us from anything that would be defiling us, in that where we have taken God's word, and we've all done it, and turn it into the understanding of a man, what we think it applies to, instead of what the Holy Ghost, letting the Holy Spirit apply, we are applying it to what we think it belongs to. Therefore, we are duping ourselves, if you will, and I'm talking about all of us. Get ready with Big Dog. We're going to bring him on, whether we're ready or not. All right, just a moment here. Hey, if you want to give tonight or you want the link to give, I can text it to you. You can text me at 214-505-8719. Please don't call me on that number. 214-505-8719. And please don't call me on that number. Text me. Like text. And at the moment here, I'm doing some things. All right, just a moment here. I'm still at it.
Okay, I'm almost ready here. Let's take communion, so get your communion out if you would. Ready for that. Okay. Awesome. All right. Thank you for being with us tonight. If you want to give tonight, you want the link to that, be able to give, just text me at 214-505-8719 and ask for the giving link, and I will give it to you. And you can do give a dollar or give $1,000, whatever you're going to get. Yeah. So some people have given 50 cents before. Hey, whatever. Just do what God says to do. That's really all that matters. And, okay. It right now, the offering is coming in. Some will come in a little later, I think. Little by little. Some people, it's 10 o'clock our time, and it's 8 o'clock some people's time, so it's still early for them. And some people could get into the show, you know, come in about 8 their time, 10 our time, maybe 8:39 their time, 11 o'clock our time. So it kind of goes on. We have different time zones across the U.S. and, of course, in other places. Reach. All right, awesome, good. I hope you guys understood what I was saying tonight, what the Lord's saying, where he's trying to show us how, without realizing it, many of the doctrines and many of the ways that we have, like Kenneth Copeland has been one of the biggest ones that I've known personally, and I'm sure there's a lot more that I listened to him a lot in my younger days, that said, you know, all the Word of God belongs to you, just take something and work it. You know, like we can take God's word and work it the way we want. Like we can take, God's word and do what we want with it. You know, it's a teaching. And I thought it was great, you know, and I've taught it myself. So, you know, I'm not condemning him. I'm just saying, and that's it, bro. I'm telling you, this is a fact. I'm not just making this stuff up. You know, I was in it for years. So I'm not being mean, ugly, or bringing division. It will bring division, but I'm not bringing division. When you rightly divide the word of truth, that means you take scripture that belongs to God and how God looks at it, and not the way man looks at it. A man taking God's word and making it like fit for man. That's why it doesn't change us, and that's why it didn't give us faith. When it's man doing it. And I'm talking about, I've done it plenty of time myself, and so have you and I. We all have done it. So God is trying to say, awaken, body of Christ, and start trusting the Holy Spirit to give you what God says about his work for you. Right? Instead of taking God's word and making God's word into the image of man, in other words, the way man thinks it should be. You see what I'm saying when I say that? We've done that. I've done that. And God is correcting me. And I'm sure I'll have to work it out through my system. It's systemic through the body of Christ. Therefore, we are open to the Antichrist spirit, the false prophet spirit. And when you understand how people can be false prophets from being good, God-fearing people, you can see how that can happen, because a false prophet takes something that they think God is good about, what God thinks America would be good for America, would be good for, he would never take us down. We are righteous. They try to keep reminding us we are a righteous nation. Like, sure, we are a righteous nation in many ways. Of course, America's a great country. But it doesn't make any difference. God just thinks the way he thinks, and he doesn't have to ask my permission or your permission. He doesn't ask your permission about what he's going to do, friend. And that's what we're trying to make it do, is like, okay, the way I think the way God thinks about this,
And we just get all these scriptures together and say, well, here's the Bible scripture for it, you know, and they put together America this and America that and get all these reasons for all this stuff. And it sounds really good and, hey, but it's just not God, man. It's just not God. And I've done it. You've done it. We've all listened to it. We've heard it. We are inundated with this stuff. And God is saying, I want to cleanse you of it so that you will not become a false prophet and be part of the false prophet church, so to speak, without realizing it. Just be calling, killing Christians, killing people like Jesus said. The scripture means something else. It means something else. You're misinterpreting the scripture, Jewish leaders. This is not what you're not. You know, I am the Messiah. Yeah, you're supposed to kill me. Yeah, that's true. But you're killing the Son of God. You're not killing a blasphemer. See what I'm saying? Scripture. He's a blasphemer. He's not the Messiah. This man took God's word in the image of a man, in the thinking of a man, the way a man looks at it, what men savor, what men think, like Peter was doing, that you savor not the things of God or the way God looked at things. You're looking at things. You savor or you favor the things that men, the way men see the word of God. And God says, as long as you're subject to that and you're doing that, you're going to be open to false prophets, false prophecies, and the false prophet realm to one degree or the other. You and me. Not those ignorant Baptist people, as we might say. You and me. Wake up. Wake up, body class. Wake up, Randy Chandler. You want to be in the end time movement of God and be truly persecuted instead of don't you want people to stand there like they did Jesus and say, we're not stoning you because you did a good work. We're stoning you because you're thinking you're the Son of God. Or they won't be saying that to us, but they'll be saying to us like, you're misinterpreting the scripture. That's not what the scripture means. We know what the scripture means. And it's the devil giving it to them the whole time. It's man's way of looking at the scripture. And they're gonna crucify you or try to destroy you or do away with you or oppress you, come against you because you're looking at God's word. Like they told you, you're a man trying to say you're God, which is what the Antichrist is going to do. People that don't have the Holy Spirit's understanding, showing them how things work, what they look like, what's going on, they're going to fall for a lot of stuff. You're going to fall for all kinds of false words in the image of a man, the way a man sees it, the way a man thinks, how could God ever do that to America when America's done all this stuff? How could he ever do that? That ain't going to happen. We got too many people agreeing on it. Well, I know. I've said the same thing. But it's the Babylonian church trying to get numbers together. When David tried to count the numbers, 77,000 people died of plagues. 70,000 people died because David started counting numbers. Well, we've got plenty of numbers. We're going to win because we got numbers. God goes, it's never been about numbers, man. It's been about two or more agreeing and touching. I don't need a bunch of numbers. I'm God. And see that God says, I'm God. Like, we gotta find some way that, you know, we're God. Our image of what we think God needs or wants. I'll tell you what God wants. You hear all those prophets saying that about Trump? I tell you, it's what God wants. They were just telling us what God wants. Well, I voted for him. I wanted it, but it was not what God wanted. And prophesying, saying, thus saith the Lord, if I be a man of God. You heard it. A lot of them have got it right. Some of them, many of them have not. Therefore, we got a church that's really messed up and confused. All right, let's take communion. Let's lift it up before the Lord tonight. Thank you, Jesus, for in a second. Let me get my bread here.
Where'd it go? There it is. So 1 Corinthians 11. And open this up for you. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 11, and let's get ready to pray, if you would. Paul the Apostle got this from the Lord. He just get it from man's opinion, man's ideas, the Jews passed down to him. All right? Even the Peter and all them walked with the Lord. He got it from the Lord. And he says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you." So he delivers to us what the Lord says, not what he used to. He would have told you what the law said about things and the way man interpreted the law. Now he says, the Lord. Very important to hear that. From the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, and we give you thanks, God, for all your works now, we give you thanks for what you're showing us. And he broke it, and he said, "Take, eat. This is my body. This is the word made flesh, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's partake of him. Blessed be the name of the Lord for your precious body, for your precious word. The word became flesh. Jesus' body was made up of the word of God. The word became his body. The word made his body. We eat his word. His body, we're eating his word. Let's digest it, God, in Jesus' name. All right. Thank you, Lord. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do, as oft as you drink it, in remembrance of me and what I say, and how I say it, and what I say it means." Amen. Let's drink. Hallelujah. Yeah. Thank you, Lamb of God. Hallelujah. Jesus, we thank you for breaking the bread with us. Lord, I thank you for breaking the bread with me so I can share it with your friends that love you and want your truth and want your word. They want it more than they want what man says about it. Just like I've heard plenty of things that people have said about you. And it sounds really cool, and it sounds really nice. But I want what you say, even if it's not what I want to hear. I pray to God we don't have prophets who just tickle our ears and take scripture just to make us happy, keep us, make us feel safe falsely. Falsely, false peace. False faith. Doing false things. God, forgive us. Help us. Save us. Deliver us, dear Jesus. Open up our lives. Open up our hearts and let us eat you. Let us eat what in your image, what comes from you, from your word, from the mouth of God, from the Holy Spirit that leads us and guides us into all truth. All of it comes from your written word. We thank you for your holy written word, God, how precious it is. But we cannot understand it without your Holy Spirit. That's why you sent him. It's so that we wouldn't take it and do what man would do with your word. Like much of the law was made into man's image. And the same thing with your word today, Father. I've done it. We've done it. Forgive us. Save us. Deliver us. Bring us into Jesus. We want the engrafted body of Christ. The word of Jesus, grappling to us, the living, breathing word. Help us, Lamb of God, through Jesus. See,
thy precious and what a treasure you are. Let 2022 be the year of treasures unlocked. Your word, things we've never seen before, places we've never gone before because we haven't seen it, and you're going to show it to us because we are hungry for you, Jesus. Even if it cost us having to change what we believe and know and get to the Word of God and what the Word of God means, not just get to the Word of God, but get to what you say the Word of God says, what the Holy Spirit wants to teach us of the Word of God, not what man says, but what the unction of the Holy Spirit is. That's what we want, God. Help us, save us, deliver us. That's why our DNA is not changed. Our DNA is being changed into the image of man with God's word tagged to it. And our DNA is being changed because you want us to our DNA to change in the image of Christ. But when you re-eat the word of man, what man says about the word, you don't get the image of Christ. You get the image of man and what man says about it, and your DNA becomes that. But do you hear that message? Wow. Hang on a second. I got to write that down. Let me just a minute here. Honestly, that was like mind-boggling. I don't know if y'all caught that or not. Dear God. Woo! Hallelujah. My Lord and my God. Wow, hang on, I gotta write that down. That was fresh. Wow. Give me a moment. Wow, y'all. I had to write that one down. That just came right out of my mouth. And I heard me say it going, that was not me. Woo! You have to go back and listen to that. You didn't get that. But my Lord and my God, that was some heavy duty, beautiful revelation from heaven. Golly. I tell you, when you take communion, it opens up your eyes to think, man. The reason we're having trouble breaking free from the bondage in our DNA realm is because we've been listening to the word of man. And when you take the word of God and you interpret it, what man says about it, that gets into your DNA. That's what your DNA gets changed because your DNA is supposed to be changed through the revelation of Jesus, right? Through the blood of Christ, not through the word of man. The things that man favors or says is right. Because when we eat that and drink that, we become religious and part of the false church, the false prophet in the false church. We end up being a bunch of false prophets because we get up on our own vein of thinking what we say about God and what we think God would do with America, what we think God would do with the world, what we think God would do with Joe Biden, and what we think God's going to do with that, instead of what God's going to do and what God says about it. And when we eat the man way, it turns our DNA into man's image of God. When we eat God's word according to the Holy Spirit, it changes our DNA into the image of Christ. We don't break that down. That's like, oh, my God. My Lord and my God. What an amazing night. I'm having fun. It's just like, whoo. And we're going to talk more about what Jesus did in the garden when he said, his cup passed for me, talking about what happened with Isaac and Abraham and Isaac. You know, there's a lot more we're going to say about that. I haven't been able to get there. We will, because all this is part of it. Okay. Wow. All right. All right. Pray for PGN. Pray for favor. That favor is manifested. Okay, please do that. For doing that. All right, let's pray for over offerings and taking communion. Get in here and do this. you want to give tonight and don't know how, you can text me at 214-505-8719 and ask for the link. We'll get it to you. All right, I'll get it to you. And you can give, if you don't have that link, I'll be glad to send it to you, 214-505-8719. And I will get it to you. All right. Okay. Can you say it with Joy and or Joy, J-O-Y-E? That's the name, Joy and Company? Joy and Company. That's the name of a company, Joy and Company? Angelo? Okay, gotcha. Thank you. Yes. Okay. You spell it J-O-Y. And company. Car company, okay. And company, which is a car company. Am I getting that right? Okay, thank you. Cool. Awesome, yeah. All right, I'm checking my text before I start putting it over. Andrika sent that. Thank you, Andrika. All right. Let me go back and check one more time. I'm trying to make sure before I get going here that we've got in all the offerings, at least at this moment. Some people give later on during the show. Time zones are different. Pray. Thank you, Lord, for Andrea. $5 for Andrea. Thank you, Andrea. Thank you, Lord, for that, when we live our spiritual lives and we dream about serving God, but yet that sometimes our natural life, we want to see, you know, more human things go on. We want to see more, you know, human fellowship, you know, things going in the realm of love and fellowship and friendship and, you know, people to talk to, people to, you know, walk along beside us. And so I thank you, Lord, for balancing Andrea's life out, God, her prayer walking life, her ministry, prayer times and ministry to you, her prayers for you, God, her desires to see the prophet realm be what God wants it to be, and what her life in the natural, God, her everyday life, to be blessed by you, sanctified you by you, set apart by you. We thank you, Lord, for doing that, for bringing those people around her. In Jesus' name, she can love and can love her. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Friends that are friends of God that will connect with her, understand her, know her. They can understand each other, so they can yak and talk and share their hearts, not just share spiritual things, but share natural human desires that God has given us and life. And we thank you, Lord, for blessing her with that. In Jesus' name, amen. We have our spiritual life, but we need that human touch, human fellowship, the human interaction. Yeah, it's part of the balance. Angela Joy, $8.88. Thank you, Angela, for that. And just bless her, God, and call her to, I think it'll for opening up her eyes at a new level. You know, when we eat the bread, like we took communion tonight, I didn't really realize it, but my eyes got opened to something that I've never seen before. I mean, it happened right here, and you heard me, I stopped the show, and I wrote down what I heard. And it helps me understand, Angela, why we're not being transformed to the image of Christ, because the preachers have to preach the gospel of Christ. My Paul was so strong on that. If it's not the gospel of Christ, run from it. Now we just kind of tolerate all kinds of things. We're too nice about it. We're too, well, you know, it's not that bad. You know, so they're, you know, saying God is not really God the way God wants to be. He's like a man. Well, at least they're talking about the Bible. It's like, what's going? Paul the Apostle would have been in throwing a fit going, what are you into? This is blasphemy. This is not the gospel of Jesus Christ. I don't care if an angel brought it to you, but so you see that thing, and I thank you, Lord, for that in Angela, God, in Jesus' name, and her ability to also to produce blessing and finances and wealth, God, and bringing that to her and blessing that part of her life, God, in Jesus' name, and opening up favor and compassion. You're opening up compassion inside of her, Father. And I see Jesus having compassion on you, Angela Joy, having compassion. Sometimes he moves in compassion because of, you know, things that we need. You know, like some people need healing, some people need, you know, provision. Some people need, you know, certain things. And whatever that thing is that they need, they've been struggling to get there and get it. And then all of a sudden, you know, for some reason out of the blue, Jesus says God gives him compassion for that person, and then their whole life changes. Their whole life, that they start, they might have been really good people, but all of a sudden this, you know, this one lady, her child had died. Her son had died. Jesus shows up and changes her whole world, you know, by raising her son from the dead and putting him back in his mother's arms. That's what compassion of Jesus does. And I thank you, Lord, for awakening that compassion and Angela Joy in a way that it never has, God. Let it be awakened to not only change her life, but change the lives of others. You know, what Christ does for you, he will do for others. And I thank you, Lord, for that compassion, God. Compassion doesn't just feel sorry for people. Compassion moves in and changes their life, moves in and opens their eyes to the Word of God so they can live and breathe and have their being in Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Shalonda, $10. Thank you, Shalonda. For the truth shall set you free. Amen. God's going to reveal truth to you. Not just truth of the Bible, but truth about, you know, why things work and why things, some things don't work. The truth about that. Because we're willing to do anything. You're willing to do anything, Shalonda, but you got to know the truth. What's the truth about that? What's the truth about my relationship things, my friendship things, the people around me? What's going on, you know, with the people around me, family, you know, whatever. Body of Christ. What's the truth about what's going on? Because we can guess and we can think and we can get it wrong. You know, I've got it wrong before, many times. But when God shows you the truth sets you free. In other words, it shows you why this works and why it doesn't work. And who was at fault, you know? They asked the disciples, asked Jesus, who was at fault here for this blind man, this man being born blind? Was it his mother and father? Who was it? Jesus said, no, it's for the glory of God. That was the truth. He could have been his mother and father. That could have been the truth. That could have been the truth. That was the truth for some people, right? The mother and father, genetic code, some curse on them, curse on the job, whatever it is. It could have been the truth because that's in the Bible. But the truth was with him was that with this man being born blind was it was for the glory of God. It had nothing to do with the fault of the parent. You see what I'm saying? Well, so what was the truth about certain things? Amen. All right. God's showing that to you. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. Sally from UK, London, $18. Thank you, Sally. Thank you, Lord, for the references you give, the references. God's going to give you references. You're going to have references. References, you know, like, I don't know what the references mean. References, let's look at that. References. The action of the actions of mentioning or alluding to something. Use of a source of information in order to ascertain something. The use of a source of information in order to ascertain something. These are things that are used. I'm Googling this, as you know. The meaning of reference. Provide a book or an article with citations of sources of information. Media is an example. It says the media referenced our association in almost 40 articles. Mention, it means to mention or refer to. What do you mean by reference? The act of referring or consulting. A bearing on a matter. Relation in reference to your recent letter. Example. Okay. I'm not sure what that means exactly. I just get information that I may just read new things, so something clicks, it may further something you're on, that will be coming up or on your mind already. The action of mentioning or alluding to something. Here's an example. You made reference to the enormous power of the mass media. An example. The second meaning here. The use of a source or information, a source of information in order to ascertain something. Here's an example of popular works of reference. The use of a source of information in order to ascertain something. That one kind of hit me right there. The use of a source of information. Information is everything. In order to ascertain. Okay, find something out for certain. Ascertain means to know. The use of a source of information, in order to ascertain. Ascertain means to find something out for certain, make sure of. Find out, discover, get, to come to know, work out, make out. Okay, so the use of a source of information in order to find out something, in other words, to discover things, to find out what works, find out the sources of, you know, like people look for sources of information that refer to, you know, their company, their thing, whatever they're doing. I don't know. Anyway, there you go. Interesting. I don't know. Some source of information to help you out to get done what God wants to do with you. Yeah. Basically, I mean, all right, awesome. And bless for God. Open up that source of information. Use of a source. Okay, so you have sources of information in order to, another one, third person present references means provide like a book or an article with citations of sources of information. Each chapter is an example. Each chapter is referenced, citing literature up to 1990. All right, there you go. So bless that. Open that up, God. Give her, let her, in, let, when we break bread with Jesus, what does he do? He opens up our eyes to information. The guy's eyes were open that was Jesus walking along with him the whole time in the road to Emmaus. They didn't see it before. Now they saw it, and it relieved them. It healed them. It showed them that it really was Jesus. That was a really big moment, because what he wanted them to know is it really was that Jesus who died, they were, you know, he died. We thought he was the Messiah, and they were walking along talking to Jesus. He just resurrected from the dead. They didn't know it was him. He said, oh, you haven't heard, sir, that the Messiah, we thought that was the Messiah going to come to save us all, and he died. You haven't heard about that? And they go, well, and it was him the whole time. And then when they got the information, what did it do? That was a big source of information. When Jesus opened their eyes, he opened their eyes to what they were really messing with them, and that was Christ was right there. He was resurrected. He was walking with them. So it healed them. It blessed them. It comforted them. It let them know that we misunderstood it, but he's alive. So he really is the Messiah. Let's find out what it really means to serve Jesus. Because obviously they didn't know. We walk right with them, and they didn't know. That's what happens with a lot of us. We walk right, it's, you know, right there, and we can't see it, you know, because we don't have our eyes open to it. That's me. That's everybody. All right, Jeannie, $20. Thank you, Lord, for blessing Jeannie. Thank you for the fruit of the land. It's like you're going to bear fruit in the land, like as you're entering into the new land. When Israel entered into the new land, they started eating from a different source. It says that they no longer ate of the manna any longer. You know, they ate of the fruit of the land. So there's a whole big thing. In other words, going from supernatural, spiritual provision to God blessing the land you're in and producing wealth from the land, getting provision from the land. In other words, it's not just raining down on you enough to eat every day.
Right.
That's what happened with the man. It rained down on them every day. Give us their daily bread, thank God. But it was enough just for them, right, to live. But when they went into the promised land, like you've entered into your new land, the source of, you know, in other words, it meant they ate off the land. In other words, the land started blessing them. It wasn't just they're getting daily food. They grew vineyards and fruit, and the fruit they had in the planet, you know, with their own hands, which is part of what we're made to do and which blesses us and, you know, makes us feel like we're blessed by God because we watch the fruits of our labors be blessed by God. That's what that means, the aid of the land, the aid of the corn of the land. Yeah, it's no longer just day-to-day provision. It changed. Amen. All right, Paulette, $20. Thank you, Paulette. Thank you, Lord, for Paulette. God, I thank you for the wisdom, giving her wisdom, God. You know, the Bible says Jesus was a very passionate person. When Lazarus died, it said that the Jews were weeping over it. Mary was weeping. Martha and Mary, they were weeping. The Jews were weeping over it because he was a really beloved person. I mean, a lot of the Jews really loved him. And God was about to do something amazing with the Lazarus situation because, you know, he was a good, loving, giving, probably built temples because he had a lot of money, loved people, helped people. Him and Jesus were really good friends. And when he died, and the Jewish people, a lot of Jewish people loved Lazarus. He helped a lot of people, took care of a lot of people. Good, godly man. And when he died, the Jews wept, though. It was very hard for them because he was still young. And it says, and I read this today, and the Jews were weeping over it. And the Jews wept. And it says in one little quick sentence, it says, and then Jesus wept because of their weeping. He wept. He felt them. And that turned out to be thing that took Jesus to the cross, which was what God wanted, so it was hard. Because all the Jews, says, you know, what really freaked them out is that that Sanhedrin and all the religious leaders realized that when Lazarus was raised from the dead, it says the Jews started coming to Christ like never before, and that freaked them out. They're going like, man, now they're all coming to him. They're all going to come to him because all the Jews that loved Lazarus, when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, it touched them big time. And they were like going, they came to see Jesus and listen to Jesus for the first time. Many Jews, many, many, many Jews. And they were getting nervous. The religious leaders were afraid, we're not going to have any congregation left. Nobody's ever going to bring their tithes and offerings to the temple anymore than to give it to Jesus. And they're not going to be bringing their you know, their calves and bulls, just that, you know, Jesus has become the offering, you know. So our whole system is going to, so they freaked out. Well, I don't even know where this is going exactly, except what if there is. That God is going to bless you with compassion. He's going to bless you with, he's going to bless you with blessing to be able to help people, so that you have a reputation like Lazarus did, of helping people. People like, if you were to die, you know, in the future after helping people like you're going to, and being able to do that, that people are going to be weeping because Paulette died. You know, come to me or something or somebody, and I say, what, you know, why didn't you pray for Paulette to be raised from the dead? She now she's dead, and she did so much for us. We're so sad, and I'm going to weep with them. And then in Jesus' name, come forth, Paulette. And then, you know, you see what I'm saying? So that's where that went. So cool, man. It gives you something to dream for in your blessing, financial blessing, financial prosperity, that you prosper and be in health, even if your soul prospers, that your heart would be blessed and bless many people. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. All right. Latoria, $20. Thank you, Latoria, for that $20. And thank you. Latoria, $20. Thank you, Latoria, for that. We just bless you and thank you, Jesus. Lord, I thank you for blessing their business skill. You know, sometimes it's not about how good of a business person that we are. It's that we look up and we realize that God has favored us. But thank you for the favor of God on Latoria, God. Bless her with favor. Bless her that she will give with measure and not just with amount. We'll give out of the measure. So God will bless her in the measure room instead of the amount room. I gave 20, and I'm going to get blessed with 40. You know, instead of giving 20% or 50% and getting blessed with 50%. And it's called giving by measure. In other words, if some people give 10%, they give the tithe 10%, and then they give maybe 5% of it, add 5% for their offering. So they get, you know, tithe belongs to God already, but in that 5%, you know, they get blessed by the measure. They get a 5% measure back. You know, so if they give extra, give their tithe and they give $10 extra, then they get it, you know, if you will, a 10%. You give, you know, so the woman who gave the two mice, Jesus said, you know, the measure she gave is more than all the wealthy people, because even though it was only a couple of mice, it was her living. And this woman's going to be very blessed. We've got teaching how to give by measure. Amen. Not just amount, which I know you already know that, but maybe I'm just confirming something that God wants you to think about, or just to bless you, to increase you, to multiply you. Amen. And find out that it's not about how great, what a great bit. We become, David was a great warrior for one number one reason, is that was God made him very smart about fighting. It was God who made him smart about fighting. He was naturally, he was a handsome man, he was a skilled man, but it was God who anointed him and made all his skills higher than everybody else's, because God did it. It wasn't because he was so smart and all that. Amen? There you go. All right. And realizing that. Regina, $20. Thank you, Regina. Thank you, Lord, for Regina, for breaking through that skin, through that skin of, you know, like, you've seen these movies where you break through a skin, you know, like a thin, like a little, almost a see-through thing, like waterfall or something, and they break through that skin and enter through the other side of it, and they enter into another world. And I thank you, Jesus, for Regina, that that she is, that you given her the strength and the ability and the understanding to step into the other world, to the other side. We live on this side a lot, and God wants us to enter into that place on the other side. You know, like they went from the wilderness, they broke through, and they entered into the promised land. I thank you, God, for that, for her, all the struggle, all the pressure, everything that's around her, God, is pressing her in and pushing her through to the other side, in Jesus' name, to enter into the promises, to the promise. Because when we get tested, Regina, like Jesus, the reason that Jesus walked out of the wilderness after being tempted by Satan in those three main areas, the reason he walked out with authority and power was because he passed the test. Right? He passed the test. So we cannot pass the test and get another chance, but until we pass the test, we don't end up with the authority. We don't end up with the ability to pass over to the other side and to the promise. And so and some people think God's just going to be merciful to them and give it to him anyway. Well, what they don't realize is that God is merciful and he's kind, but there's some things that we cannot touch and enter into without, when we're tested and cried, we do the right thing. We do what God says. And we do that, then the authority and power, the breakthrough, the ability to pass over just happens. It's just like get drawn over. The way is open. All of a sudden, you've been spending 40 years in the wilderness, let's say, with people. The wilderness, Israel did that. And then all of a sudden, one day, it's like God said, you're passing over now. And they put their toe in the water and they passed over. It was supernatural. Because they got the 20-year-olds, you know, $20 offering, the 20-year-olds on up, on down, and because they didn't have all that sin and rebellion of their parents, it passed over. When we get born again, when we pass the test, when we start passing the test, then that's what happens. We pass over into the blessing, into the breakthrough, into the promise. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Thank you, God, for that, with Regina. In Jesus' name, open up. Show her how to win every battle. Because every battle you win, you step into a little bit higher level. You step into a little bit more of the authority and power of God. God only does not mercifully and graciously give us things in some areas. Because we have, it's all given to us to test. It's like you pass the test from the first grade to go to the second grade. Pass the test of, you know, being a senior too, so you can go to college. You know, you have to pass the test. You're supposed to pass the test. You don't pass the test, you don't make the grades, you don't go. You don't get out of high school. You stay. You repeat the senior one more year. Thank God I didn't have to do that. I came close, but yeah. Thank you, Lord, for her passing the test successfully. Meditating on the Word of God, Dana, to be a success. Success isn't doing everything right. Success is passing the test. It's doing what God says. Joshua did what God said, and that's why he won. Only the only reason he won. The only reason the walls of Jericho came down, Virginia, was because he passed the test. Yeah. Some things we don't get until we pass the test. I thank you, Lord, for all the tests that she's passed. Thank you, God, for every one of them. It's been glorious. It's been awesome. Thank you for the future ones, God. Our salvation is free. There's no works for it. But the blessing and the inheritance comes through our obedience. All right, Daniel, $25. Thank you, Daniel, for that. And we bless you for that, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for Daniel. Thank you, God. We're opening up a way where there seems to be no way, God. Sometimes we I see you like sitting there thinking, I just don't see any way this is going to happen. I'm hoping, I'm dreaming, I'm, you know, strong, you know, willed, I can believe. But I just can't see, you know, how's this going to happen? Yeah, this is going to happen. It doesn't look like things are going to happen. And all of a sudden, boom, there's a way where there seemed to be no way. God made a way where there seemed to be no way. And it's because if you keep reaching out to God and keep looking to God, then we see the way. Seeing a way. And when you see a way, what you see, you get. I mean, it's not just what you confess that you get, it's what you see. So when your eyes are open and you see, I mean, Jesus said, I do what I see my Father do. So when we see, then we get it because we walk into it. You can't see, you can't walk in, you know, if you're blind, you can't walk up and grab stuff, you know, that belongs to you because you don't know where it's at. But when your eyes are open, man, you see it and you're able to obtain it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for Daniel's eyes being open to a higher level, to a new place, God, in Jesus' name, to step into. Nobody can lead us and guide us, only the Holy Spirit. And we let him, he leads us and guides us into all truth. And truth is not just from the Bible. Truth is like, you know, what God told Joshua. The truth about how you're going to get that breakthrough is you're going to walk around seven times, 7 days, say anything until the last round, and then you shout, play the music, and whatever they did, and the walls came down. The reason he won that is because he did what God said. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I'm getting a lot of words about that tonight. Look at this. This is amazing. Thank you, Jesus. Open up a way that seems like there is no way, God. Joshua knew there was no way he was going to win that thing. He said, there ain't no way. That's why he was freaking out. And he was freaking out. Yes, he was. Because he was a smart man. And he knew there ain't no way that's going to happen. It's something supernatural. It's going to have to be God because that ain't going to happen. No sirree. Can't see it. You know, I know God can do it. Can't see it. And then when God told him what to do, he just did what he got his eyes on what God told him to do. And when he did that, then he saw the walls fall. We don't have to see the walls fall before they fall. We have to see what God has told us to do and do that. He said, I do what I see my Father do. When we see it and we obey it, then we get blessed. Amen? That's how it works. Chris, $25 from Texas. Thank you, Lord, for Chris. Thank you, Jesus, Lord, for blessing him, God, giving him the rest that he needs. God's teaching him how to rest. Not just rest your body, but rest your mind. Be able to rest your mind, and, you know, my mind goes 90 miles an hour, maybe 100 miles an hour, maybe 150 miles an hour, a lot of the time. So I have to stop and say, God, how do I rest my mind? I got to rest my mind. I got to have a Sabbath on my mind. Mind Sabbath. And so if he shows me these different ways. You got to do something that gets my mind off of things. You know, whatever it is, whatever you'd like to do. Some people just like to go driving around. You know, I mean, there's a lot of different things. Listen to music. Some people like to go to a good concert and go do something. Go see, something that they want to go see, like whatever. Some people love to go to the opera. I'm not an opera person myself, but some people like to go to the opera and just there's something about it. It just relaxes them. Whatever distracts you from, you know, your daily life of working with God. And learn to give your mind a Sabbath rest, because that's going to be huge in your ability to, you know, think right and keep your mind straight so you can walk straight. In other words, not go back and forth and make mistakes. But if our mind is not rested, not only just our body, but our mind, our brain. Brain is part of our physical. Brain is physical. And even though it's as the thoughts that run through it are spiritual, emotional, we have to rest it. Help him, Jesus, so that he can rest his mind and his brain in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Show him how to do it, God, in Jesus' name, so we have refreshed on a regular basis. A person can sleep 8 hours a day with plenty of rest physically and never really rest their mind. You know what I'm saying? That's just short time, dude. It's a supernatural thing, man. It's one of us that's talking about we enter into his rest. If we find ways to rest from our labors, the labors of our mind, the labors of our trying to figure out how this is going to work, what do we do next, what's going on. Rest from those labors. Amen. And then when we do, the creativity of God just floats up automatically. What hinders the creativity of God and the leadership of the Holy Spirit is we're so busy, we get tired, our brain gets tired, and we can't listen to the God to retire. That's why the Sabbath is so important. I mean, God judged Israel for 70 years in Babylon because they didn't let their land rest. Let's let them. Very important. All right, Tanisha, $26. Thank you, Tanisha. Tanisha and Terrence fell just, well, yeah, so yeah, okay. Terrence gave, okay, Terrence gave, so I'll pray over him later. I forgot that you got to switch back and forth. So thank you for that, Tanisha, and we just bless you tonight in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for the opening of the river of God inside you, God, to bring refreshing, to refresh you in Jesus' name. You know, that like the mighty warrior being refreshed. Kind of like the word I just gave Chris about just connecting to that, the fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit. You know, we can go to a meeting and get a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit in a meeting, and that's good. That's part of the blessing. But to have our own personal refreshment, times of refreshing come from the presence of the Lord. You know, not just going to church and getting the presence of God. Thank God we can do that. But having it personally and, you know, maintaining that and asking God to, you know, let your, you know, I know when I go to church, it's awesome when I listen to the Word of God, when I listen to preaching, when I listen to ministry, when I listen to the prophetic, whatever I listen to, it's awesome. But God, you know, so we never trade our personal peace and our personal blessing time, the presence of God, for anything. As you already know all this, I'm just not telling you that you know. God's showing you how to get refreshed. That's kind of what I said, Chris. Getting refreshed. Amen. So you don't get tired of making mistakes. We've seen this documentaries where people that have documented people who didn't Sabbath rest, they made a lot of mistakes. Made a lot of mistakes. Because they get tired. And so I can't believe this happened. Two words in the same thing. But thank you, Jesus, for pouring out your glory on her, God. Show her ways to find rest in you with worship, with singing, with meditation on your word, meditation on the words you've even spoken to her over the years. Things you said to her, God, that she will drink them in, like Paul told Timothy, listen to those prophecies or listen to the words God has spoken to you so you can fight a good fight. Hallelujah. Open that up, God. So, you know, we can try to meditate on the Word of God. We can try, but when the Holy Ghost brings us into that meditated state, we get the medicated state. When you meditate in the Spirit, you get medicated, or, you know, healing balm of Gilead, the refreshing of the presence of the Lord comes upon us. And I see an oil on your mind, on your brain. You know, like God's changing the oil, like change oil in our cars. You know, go a long time with the same oil, you know. The same thing with us. We can go a long ways on the oil God gives us. And then he changes the oil, gives us totally fresh oil. And I see that happening. They're clean, like God draining the oil and putting new oil in your, and this has to do with your brain and your mind for some reason. I don't know what this is. Thank you, Lord, for letting the oil of the Holy Ghost cause her brain, the engine in her brain, to function with the fresh oil where it slides and slips, where she thinks clearly, where she thinks fast, where she thinks, you know, without the having to deal with, you know, the dirt that gets in her oil. Just naturally, so that's why you change oil after a certain mile, because a certain mile, you do it, it won't damage your engine. Same thing with God. And I see you, Jesus, pour your oil out of your wine. Because you've given her the power to heal, God. Power to heal, the power for wine, the power for oil. You bring peace and prosperity to the mind. Hallelujah, Jesus' name. Give them that fresh anointing, God. Name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. We'll pray with Terrence later on here. But Karen, $49. Thank you, Karen. Thank you, Jesus, for that victory year, that year of victory. God, that year of you know, celebration, celebrating the things of God, celebrating the work of Christ, celebrating the opening of the like a like something being opened up, like something new being opened up, and yeah, something new opening up, and God developing a new strategy. I see a new strategy being opened up for something. I don't know what that is. Maybe it's for your situation, for what you're going through, what's happening. You're developing a new strategy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for that. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Bless her, God. Open it up. Open it up, Jesus. Open it up and pour it out. We're getting a lot of this tonight. I don't know what's going on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God bless. I see peace. I see people getting peace. Like never before, God bringing peace to the mind, bring peace to the heart. You can rest. Without peace, you can't rest, right? I'm just getting this myself. The oil of peace, even for you, Anisha. Yeah, that's the oil of peace, where your mind is not getting hot, you know, because it's, you know, we haven't changed our oil enough, soon enough. Yeah, in Jesus' name, hallelujah. Open that up, God. Jesus' name. Lord, pour your glory out on Karen, God. New strategies, new ways, new things, like completely different. Look at things completely different. Hallelujah. A new look. Amen. Open it up, God. It's because God wants to catch the enemy off guard. Sometimes the enemy knows our strategies. The enemy knows our religious, you know, he knows a lot of what the Bible says, of course. I think he knows a little bit more than what we think. So he gets ahead of us and tries to, you know, like especially if we use strategies that we think are going to work. You know, he gives us strategies even that are biblical, that are not God, that are biblical, that they're not breathed in by God. He gives us, it's like he tried to give them to Jesus, like he gave Jesus a scripture, Psalms 91, verse 11 and 12. You know, the angels are going to protect you and keep you. So the strategy was to get him off track. So thank you, Lord, for opening her eyes, God, and refreshing her in Jesus' name. To make her know what God is, what thus saith the Lord. Amen. All right, Ryan, $25. Thank you, Ryan. Ryan, we just bless you tonight in Jesus' name. God, I thank you, Lord, for securing him his place. For Ryan having his place secured by you, God, knowing that no one can take your place, no one can do what you do, no one know what you do. You are unique, you are called, God, and no one can do what you do or replace you. That's why God is so big on us to, you know, do what he wants us to do. Because sometimes you get somebody else to do it, he has to retrain them and all that stuff. You know, he trains you and does all this work in you. And yeah, he has a backup plan. But he didn't want to use a backup plan. God doesn't like to go, okay, let's use the backup. Plan B. Plan A. They couldn't get it. But he wants to use plan A. And he really works it to help us get there because plan A is always, you know, the best. So thank you, Lord, for Ryan. God, you bring him into plan A, no question about it. Amen. Notch, first class of Jesus. Amen. All right. Robin, $25. Thank you, Robin, for that. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for the activation. You know, we can have things. Jesus had, you know, Jesus had promises just like you and I did. And he understood that our salvation is free. We don't work for that. There's no works for that. That's free. We don't work to get it, and we don't work and lose it. Once we were born again, that's it. You didn't work to get it. You can't unwork it. You can't work something and lose it. I know people don't like that. I'm saying that I used to not believe that, but I do now. Because I think people, a lot of people really aren't born again. Anyway, so, Robin, this whole thing of, you know, entering in and breaking through and coming to the other side, that whole thing is, you know, Jesus understood it because he, when he went into the wilderness, the whole purpose of going to the wilderness that the Holy Spirit led him to be tested and tried was so that the spiritual promises over him of being the Messiah and going into the temple and being doing all the things, healing the sick, you know, doing all kinds of things, being, and then eventually going to the cross. He couldn't even have gone to the cross and gave his life for us, much less heal the people and stir up the Jews. Because what stirred up the Jews to kill him, to do the will of God, because if God wanted, right, he had to heal the sick and raise the dead, or to make him mad, to make him jealous, right? So he couldn't even do that without passing that test. So once he passed that test, his spiritual promise became something for it and landed in the natural realm, and he went and he did it. But it came through him obeying God. So, you know, our salvation is free, but a work of faith is God speaking to us through something and never stop until we do it, even if we fail 3 or 4 or 5 times or 3 or 4 or 500 times. It doesn't matter. He keeps, you know, we're not like Jesus. We're not going to get it right the first time, most of the time. Sometimes we do. But those blessings come by faith with works. Faith without works is dead. Faith with works is alive. Things come alive. They start coming to pass. It's not just going to happen because we've got our hands up worshiping Jesus. Right? That's what the Lord showed me about. It ain't going to happen to you by just lifting your hands and praising Jesus, unless that's what I tell you to do. You're going to have to do the action I tell you to do. And that way we have to listen to the voice of God, Robin, as you know. That's what got me into the voice of God. Because if we're not listening to the voice of God, learning how to listen to the voice of God, then we're not going to be able to do what he says to enter into our spiritual promises into literally come to pass in the natural. Jesus had that spiritual, the whole word of God was about him. So he had to obey God to activate them in the natural, where the physically, literally comes back. Thank you, God, for Robin's wisdom that you're giving her, the acknowledgement of who you are, the acknowledgement of her life, and who she is and what you've made her to be, God, and how she's obeying your voice. When she obeys your voice, power, faith without works is dead. Faith with works is alive, active, reactivating. That's $25 bucks. You got to activate something new for her. Let it be like a little test here. Go on. Jesus' name. All right, Shannon, $10. Thank you, Lord, for Shannon. Bless him, God, for that $10. We just thank you, Lord, for that. Pray for health and strength and vitality and breakthrough and making connection with my wife. Yep. Amen. So we thank you, Lord, for that. Breakthrough and connection. God, he will connect with his future woman in Jesus' name. And his health, God, that he will be healthy, not just physically only, as he knows, but be in health, even as his soul prospers, as his soul is healthy. In Jesus' name, we speak, we declare and decree that. I rebuke you, Satan. You're a liar and a thief. Shannon is a man of God, a servant of the Lord. In Jesus' name, may he start seeing that. I declare and decree that over you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Sandra, $55. Thank you, Sandra. Thank you, Jesus, for Sandra, God. And thank you, Lord, for the purposes of God. You know, some things that man has purposed for you, the things that man has purposed for you, God is saying, you know, I'm not gonna let those purposes happen. My purposes for you are the only thing that's going to come to pass. In other words, we're not going to accidentally fall into the purpose of man or our own purpose. God says, I'm not going to let that happen because I'm too jealous over it. I need my purpose to happen through you, so I'm not going to let anything else happen. I'm not even going to allow it. That's why Jesus felt forsaken on the cross, because God forsaked sin. He didn't want to forsake Jesus. He was forsaking sin. Like in our life, he forsakes anything. He's not with us on anything that's not his will, you know, because he's jealous of us. So I thank you, Lord, for the jealousy of God working and developing into Virginia's life, God. Into Saunders' life, God. Work that thing. Work that thing. God, let your grace, let her learn how to, work that, the grace of God, how to work it, how to work with it. The unmerited, undeserved favor of God. Pray that the power of persistence and perseverance be your middle name. Perseverer, Sandra the Perseverer. Amen. There's one thing the devil does. He tries to distract us and discourage us, but we give up because he knows that God is bent on getting you there. If he can delay you and get you to give up, that's what he does. He said God is intent on it. But once we get discouraged, we couldn't listen to God. Man, I've done it. Been there. And we get overwhelmed. And Satan, I find you, Satan, you're a liar. This woman is a woman of God. She's successful, spiritually and wonderfully made, born again, full of the Holy Ghost and power in Jesus' name, full of the Holy Ghost and power in the name of Jesus. Amen. And we ain't taking anything but yay and amen to the promises of God. That's written in your soul. That's written in your spirit, Sandra. Yes and amen to the will of God. That's what that's, I see now what that is. Okay, there you go. That's where that persistent, perseverant thing comes in. I gotcha. All right, Lord, thank you for that. That was good. All right, Nikki and Charles, $55.55. Thank you for that. Okay. All right, thank you, Lord, for that. God, I just bless Nikki and Charles tonight with the gifts of God. Not the gifts of the Spirit only, but the gifts of God. The gift that God is gifting you financially, gifting you, because she asked me to pray for wisdom and wanted to hear God's voice again, and for money to pray, pay for the remaining balance for his mission trip to Uganda. Charles has a mission trip for Uganda. We thank you, Lord, for that. We thank you, Lord, for that that blessing, God, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Open up the money room. Open up the gifting room. God's going to give gifts. Gifts. I speak gifts over you and Charles. I speak gifts over you guys. Not only the gift of hearing God, that's the voice, but the gifts, the money room. You know, of course, we want the gifts of God, the Spirit, of course. But may, like Solomon was willing, he gave up, he offered up 1,000 bulls. That was a lot of bulls. He gave up a lot of bulls were very expensive. You know, it's about, God says, what do you want? God gifted him with, you know, what do you want? I thank you, Lord, for letting the control figure out what they want. You know, when you, God asks us that, what a thing. I don't know if I'd want God to ask me that. I mean, I would like it, but you know what I'm saying? What am I going to say? You know, am I going to answer correctly? You know, yeah, because I'm going to speak from our heart. But when he asked him that, the moment, Nikki, was that he was asked his heart, what God had put in his heart. God had already put it in his heart. He already knew how he was finished because God put it there. And he answered with God's desire. His God, the thing he did with Solomon's, that God's desires became Solomon's desires. And so he had desired to offer up that 1,000 bulls. God goes, you're doing what I want. Yeah, that's just what I need. Somebody to do what I want. And then God says, what do you want? If we do what God wants, his desires become ours and we do it. And he says, what do you want? Man, that be done. Bring in that money, God. Gift that money. The gift money. The gift of blessing. Man, nothing wrong with praying over that. Awesome. Kanae, $80. Thank you, Kanae. Bless you, Kanae. Thank you, Jesus, for Kanae. Thank you. Thank you for sending it through PayPal, bro. It's really sweet. The other cup thing never has. The last $100 you sent, they still haven't sent it. I sent them another text today or email. Yeah, email. And I'm trying to find out what's going on. PayPal's better, or the app we have. Yeah, think about that. Can they only talk to everybody else too? If you're listening tonight, you can get on your app. Go to your app store on your phone, your app store on your phone, and put in there, look for our app. We have an app. And put in there Randy Chandler, and it'll come up. The app will come up as PGN written on it. Bluish with a red ring around it. And click on there. It's free. And you can give on that, too. A little heart note at the bottom right-hand corner. It's just giving. We can do that. In case some of you guys, those people listening tonight, I don't talk about it enough. I need to talk about it every time, but I don't. People know. Thank you, Jesus, God, for Kanae. Thank you, Lord, for Kanae, God. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your kindness and your generosity to him. God has made you very generous. There's a spirit of generosity inside you, Kanae. Not just for money's sake, but that too. But of course, money's a big thing to be generous with. But just a heart of generosity, and there's a heart. You have a heart of generosity, and God wants to increase and multiply that, and bless you with that, where it is activated to the fullest, to where. Like Solomon's generosity, God's generosity became Solomon's generosity. And he got that from God. God put it in him, and then he waited for him to say. You know, God says, what do you want? He already put it in his heart what he wanted, but was he going to answer what God wanted? And it became his desire to say, you know, give me wisdom. He didn't ask for wealth, he asked for wisdom. To judge God's people. When we have wisdom, Kanae, to judge situations God's way, it changes the way everything, the way we look at everything. It changes the way we deal with things. How we judge things. You know, judge righteous judgment, and it changes everything. We judge unrighteous judgment, selfish judgment, our own judgment. It just messes them up. We become bitter. We become resentful. Joseph was dealt with that for a while. He got over it. He got through it. He said, what Satan meant for evil, God meant it for good. And God gave him wisdom. God's put it in your heart to be generous with your love, with your compassion, with your faithfulness, with your loyalty. And he's put that in you. And when you activate that and you do that, he's going to be saying, like I talked with Nikki and Charlie, what do you want? What do you want, Kanae? Ask what you will. Bible says, ask what you will, and I will give it to you. That is huge, man. Huge. Bless him, God. Bless his money. Bless his wealth. Bless that. Bless his heart. Reveal what you put in him, God, and may his desires be God's desires. When that happens, then God will give you whatever you want. But he knows you're into his wants. They're literally your wants. The well, $100, thank you, Noel. Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for the gavel that when the gavel comes down, God, who can resist with a judge? Because the judge has all the whole United States military, if he has to have it, to get something done, has the whole police force, has plenty of officers that, you know, somebody says, I don't want to go to jail, or I don't want to do that. I don't want to pay that fine. Well, then we're going to lock you up. So, you know, so that whole realm of the court system of God, hallelujah, God, showing you how to plead your case and plead your cause before, like the attorney Jesus inside of you. Like what I see happening is that Christ in you pleading before the Father for your case. You know, I think I've talked about the case with you before. I mean, of course, this is really cool. But I see it's like Christ in you pleading, like you're hearing, like when I prophesy, I hear the voice of the Lord talking through me. Even sometimes I've heard him talk about me through me. That's really weird, man, really cool. When you hear him talking through you and about your case and about who you are, when Christ is interceding, when Christ, the attorney who knows what to tell, because attorneys know what to say to judges because they know the law, they know what we're causing the judge to respond. So when we say the right word, that's why words are important. You say the right words. Lawyers know how to, they go to law school to learn how to talk to judges, one of the things they know how to do. When they give the right information, so Christ through you praying the right information, the judge goes, yeah, okay, there you go, you got it, here. Hallelujah, let it be done, Jesus. In his name, amen. Open up her heart. Let the prophet, Jesus, let the attorney, Jesus, let the lawyer, Jesus. That's why Jesus loved Paul so much, because he was an attorney. He was a lawyer. He knew the law well. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He was a lawyer of lawyers. And a good man, really, before he even got saved. The lawyers, he murdered Stephen because God's word said, you know, you had the right to stone people back then. He's under that old. But anyway, the attorney part of him. So the attorney in you rise up. The intercessor in you rise up. The Jesus Christ, the everlasting, eternal one who intervenes on our behalf like an attorney, who stands before the Father and knows how to say and quote the law and the words and the information just as it needs to be done, win the battle, win the court case. Hang on a second. Noel, yeah. Ever interceding on our behalf, Christ in you, Spirit of God in you, it's Christ in you, the Spirit of God in you. Open that up, God, and hold. God's just going to open you up your prayer life to a whole new thing, to your passion, to your need, to your desire to break through. There you go. God, he's going to use that to develop your prayer life at a whole other level. Do that with me many times. It's been a dire situation, and uses it to get my prayer life. You know where I'm, and not that it's about how much time I spent, but about learning how to say the right word, how to listen to the voice of God. Only He can teach us. Really, I can share how I do it, but you know, in all truth, only God can truly teach us. You know, it's like we tell people, you know, basically, is to let them get out and start learning how to dig a ditch instead of telling them and teaching them, having charts and other things. Hey, dig a ditch. Here, you do this. Okay, you know, get them out there and get them doing it. That's the best way. Well, God puts us in situations where we got to do it ourselves, you know. Nobody's going to do it but you and Jesus. Amen. All right, Angela Lennon, $100. Thank you for that. Bless you. Praying for a car company called Joy and company. We thank you, Lord, for new strategies, new ways, new seasons, new developments, new ways of looking at things, being able to do what God says without the intervention of man, without men saying, but being able to, when I take PGN, when I started doing my own show, God graduated me. It wasn't like I just started doing it on my own. God graduated me so I could do whatever he wanted me to do. That's what this whole thing is about, is that that's why I talk about it and laugh about it and make fun of it, and I mean it, because God did it. God opened up where I could do whatever he told me to do, the way he told me to do it, and that's exactly what he wanted. And I thank you, Lord, for Joy and Company, for that to be with her, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Open it up, open it up, open it up. Bring all the favor, all the money, all the things needed, all the opening up of it, and then develop it, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Open it up, God. Open it up, God. Open it up, God. Open it up, God. Amen. Let it be done. All right, Andrika, $100 for ESW Auto Sales. We got another. Look at that. We're doing. Look at this. We just did Angela Atlanta praying about a car company called Joy and Company, and then I'm going to Andrika. I didn't even put this together because it's now. They each gave $100, and Andrika has ESW Auto Sales and had it for a long time. Oh, she's up all hot side. My feet, that Barocco, $50 on that anointing on that God. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And just let it be done right now by the power of God. Whoa. Amen and amen. Ooh, Jesus. We just love you. We give you glory. Give you praise. You hear that, Andrew? I mean, hear what's going on? That's the Spirit of God. It's not doing that. It's the Holy Ghost. And fire. Thank you, God, for the fire breaking. You know, fire just burns down everything that ain't God. That's what the fire does. Just burns everything down. Some people don't like fire because it burns. You know, we don't want our house to burn down, but fire really consumes anything except gold, silver, and precious stone. You know, things that are a material that no matter how much hot you get it, when the fire goes out, the gold becomes hard again, you know, if you will, and it's still gold. Silver, still silver. Stones are still stones. They don't get burned up. Hallelujah. I just pray for a car company there. Got another $100 car company in ESW Auto in the name of Jesus. Let the fire of God burn away anything that known or unknown. Sometimes in drinking, what we have to do, as you know, is like, oh God, I'm going to let you burn up what is hindering me. Even though I may not agree with it, I'm going to come in agreement with you, God, and you burn up whatever you think you want to burn up so that we can get anything that's oppressing, thorns and thistles that maybe whatever human beings did, burn it up, God, and that's the only thing to be left is the gold, the silver, and the stone, the precious stone. Hallelujah. Let it be done, God. Burn it. The fire of your glory burn away the things of man. And even good intentions and, all that. God is not into good intentions. Do not impress him. It's like a menstrual rag, according to what T.D. Jakes says. It's like a filthy rag. That's what filthy rag is. It just kind of blew my mind when I first heard it. Oh, my God. Burn it all away, Jesus, in my life and in Rick's life. And Jesus, we just yield to you, and with Tyreek and Torrego, we thank you, Lord, that you're just burning away all the things that man is trying to, making God in the image of a man. Anything that we, with our own human, our doctrines that we believe, our stuff, that we just burn it to the ground, God, and let anything, just your gold and your glory, and your silver redemption and the stone, which in Jesus' name, like the priesthood, the priestly garment, Tyreek and Torrey, God, that hold people, whether something was of God or not of God, let that somehow work in their life. I don't understand that. In the name of Jesus, Let it be done, Father. Give the glory to God. God does not even want glory for the things we do. He only receives the glory when it's him, when it's his stuff. So thank you, Lord, for blessing him with that and the purity of that and the beauty of that. Blessing, 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 God. And magnify and multiply and increase. When you doubled Job, doubled him. That's double, double, double. Chris, $15, double, 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 double on double, double on double. Bless and drink it, double on double. Chris and drink it. In Jesus' name, double, double. Increase and let the two become one. One puts 1,000, two puts 10,000. It has to be, they are unified by the Spirit of God, brought together by the Spirit of God. Union, true union in Christ Jesus means that the two become one. And when that happens by God, you know, whether two or more agree as touching the matter, it shall be done. That's the authority in that. One puts 1,000%, one because of the unity, the word two or more. In Jesus' name. Let it be done, God. Agreement. Hallelujah. No more confinement. Just agreement. It shall be done. Donald and Tanya, $160. Thank you, Lord. I'm getting this thing about the fire of God tonight. God's word is like has fire in it in my word tonight. It's like I see God, Donald and Tony, giving you guys like Isaac says they were on the way up the mountain with his father Abraham. He's starting to think, what's going on around here? He said, here's the wood and the fire. Where's the offering? That's like, you know, having the wood and the fire is part of the offering, part of how you get the offering, but having the offering, he's like going, where's the offering at? In other words, where's the calf? Where's the sheep at? Whatever they're going to offer. You know, where's that at? Well, he started thinking, you know, he was raised in that. He knew what had to go on. You have an offering. They were going to the mountain without an offering. We didn't even realize that he was the offering. Yeah, and I thank you, Lord, for the wood, for the fire that Donald and Tanya asked God. The wood and the fire. God, but where's the offering at? God supplied the offering. Thank you, Lord, that they lifted it up, they put the hand to it, and kicked it, and offered it to you, God, and all of a sudden, what showed up? Their eyes were open to the ram in the thicket, the provision of the Father. Right there by him the whole time, he couldn't see it. Until he did what God said, and then he opened his eyes were open. Hallelujah. We don't ever know what to do until God shows us. We come up with all kinds. Sarah and Abraham came up with some really good idea. Hey, that's a great idea. What do you think, honey? You take in my concubine, a servant. Yeah, okay. Well, that's good. We can have a child through. That's a great idea. That's probably God, you know. But it wasn't, you know. And so that, you know. So we thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Father God, for that. You know, fire in the wood and the offering, and you giving the offering. You know, they don't have to come up with one. God, you're gonna bring in the offering. And hallelujah. Bring in the way. Bring in the provision. The provision of the Father. It came directly from the Father. Hallelujah. Let it be done unto Donald and Tanya according to thy word. Not according to what, you know, Abraham and Sarah tried to figure it out. They came up with their own word. Well, I mean, I've done that. We've all done that. But God, the trouble it caused. So thank you, Jesus, for saving them of that. Amen. In Jesus' name. We're all looking for ways. You know, maybe it's something I'm doing right or something I'm doing wrong. What am I doing? Sarah and Abraham asked that question many times. What are we doing wrong? Your God, we did something wrong? How come we don't have that child yet? You said, you promised. You know, it's your word, not ours. You the one that got us all stirred up about it. Now, look here. Nothing. Yeah, it's a coming. It's a coming. Then there came the angel. Oh, 9 months from now, you're going to have a child. And what? Sarah laughed. Abraham laughed too earlier. Yeah, he laughed too. When you're Sarah. All right, Terrence, 222, the year of 22. 22 for you. You see, it's a 22 for you. 22 for you two. 22 for you. Hallelujah. 22 is for you. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. The wisdom, the knowledge, the preparation. There's always that the work, the preparation, the laying the foundation. And then God, and then we begin to build. Let the building begin, God. The preparations of the foundation in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. How big do you want this thing to be, man? Like, build the foundation that big. Now we spend more time on the foundation because when the building starts going up, we go quick. But we have a big foundation, a good, solid foundation, then it can go up really high and tall and big. God will do what God builds. What God puts together, let no man put us under. God says something's going to work. Hallelujah. No one can stop it. And that's really what God does when he puts something together, when we do it his way, that no man can take it, tear it apart. No man can mess it up. It's been given to God. Right. It's given to God. In this name. All right. Nicole, $360. Thank you, Nicole, for that. We just bless you in Jesus' name. 360. Amen. 360, like a 360-degree turn. 360, is it 160, 360? What is 360? 360, I'm thinking about 360 as, you know, keep turning around. I'm going to do the Google thing here. Second here. A complete circle is 360 degrees. If you want to describe someone who has come full circle, oh wow, just Google 180 or 360 saying, S-A-Y-I-N-G. 180 or 360 saying. That's kind of where I came up with it. A complete circle is 360 degrees. All right. So if you want to describe someone who has come full circle, you might say he has made a 360-degree turn. A half circle means, meanwhile, 180 degrees. This is a phrase one might use to describe a complete change from one extreme to the other. I don't even know what it was. That's what the first thing that my mind went to was a 360-degree, you know. So a complete circle is 360 degrees. So, I'm just reading what I'm getting here. A circle has 360 degrees. So a 180-degree change means you have now headed into the exact opposite direction. Right. If you made a 360-degree change, you would be heading in the exact same direction as when you started. So I don't know how to read into that. You have to get that for yourself, I guess, or something. I'm not sure what that means. The idiom of 180 or 360, I'm just going to read you this stuff. All right, and we'll just leave God to reading about the idiom. Do a A180 or do a 360, an idiom that came into use in the mid-20th century. An idiom is a word, group of words, a phrase that has a figurative meaning that is not easily deducted. Deduce the literal definition, often using descriptive imagery and metaphors. Tell me what I want. Do a 180 is a phrase that means to reverse one's opinion or attitude to the exact opposite of what one intended it is. So one 360 like I read earlier. Okay, this is kind of new to me. Let me some of it. So, all right, I would go there with that and meditate on that. Think about the 360. Hallelujah. It was very unusual. Very cool, very unusual. I was praying over that. I'm praying over the car company and $100. Yes, I did. That's what did I not pray over you? Did I just pray over the car company, not over you? That's probably what I did, right? Yeah, I just prayed. I just prayed over it. Yes, I just prayed over it. Yeah, but you know what? I kind of think of it. I know I prayed over the car situation and the joy and the company. But I don't know if I prayed over you personally, you know. I think all that had to do something with you personally, so I think I left it at that. But let's just pray over you personally, too. Thank you for, even though you missed that, but you can go back and listen to it. It's very interesting. So thank you, Jesus, for Angela, God. We thank you, Lord, for her courage, for giving her courage you gave Joshua to do a new thing, step into a new land, new territory. Somewhere she'd never been before, getting out of the boat. We thank you, Jesus, for strengthening her, giving her the courage of the Holy Spirit to be unlimited in your development, unlimited in your ability to do what you think God's calling you to do. It's like when I did PGN. That's kind of what your word was about earlier. When I did PGN, it was like I graduated to this. I didn't just do this because I decided to do something. God graduated me, so now I'm giving you the ability. I've tested you, tried you, a prophet for 10 years of the house prophet, did what I told you to do. You passed that test, and now the next season for you is unlimited, do whatever. You know, I have no one telling me what to do or not to do. But I was first tried in the church for 10 years when I worked there. Would I obey God and stick with him and do what God told me to do no matter what? And I did. That's that test. Hallelujah. All right, let's go here. But something like that, Angela. So I guess that was considered praying over you. Thank you. Yeah. You're welcome. Thank you. Yeah, you have to go back and listen to that. I can send it to you early. When I get off the show, sometimes I can, if you want me to send it to you, I can text it to you. Sometimes before it shows up on the regular process of Blog Talk, I can go to the inside and get it and send it to you. If you want it, let me know. Okay, I will do that. Remind me to do it if I don't do it by in the morning. Maybe I can do it tonight. I don't know. I think I can do it right away. But we'll see. Thank you for that. Yeah. All right, yeah. Please remind me. All right. Greg, $20. Thank you, Lord, for Greg. Greg, my truck driving friend, and thank you, Jesus, for Greg. We thank you, Lord, for letting, you know, when God has his way of announcing things. God has his way of advertising things or announcing things, or, you know, like when the angels came and, you know, glory to God in the highest, you know, that the Messiah had been born. You know, they're bringing getting the wise man to, you know, a little concert or whatever. And yeah. So, glory to God in the highest. He's on earth and all that. So, like, Lord, I thank you that as Greg brings forth the things of God in his life and that spiritual manhood that God's bringing you to, spirit, not just physical manhood, but spiritual manhood. I don't know how old you are, but not that it matters that much, but I see God bringing you to spiritual manhood. It's like the Jewish people, after you turn a certain age, they, you know, have a little ceremony and announce that, you know, this kid is now a man. So I know you've been a man for a long time, has nothing to do with that, but it's a spiritual thing. It's like when Jesus became 30, the Father showed up and said, "This is my man." You know, how could Jewish people do when they, okay, I can't think what it's called right now, but well, they pronounce that they are now in the manhood. So I see God really bringing you to that place of manhood, spiritual manhood. And, yeah, that's really cool. Wow. Okay. Awesome. We'll do that, Lord. And, yeah. So that's an announcement being made by God. And, yeah. So that's being announced in the heavens, in the earth, whatever you want to say. Yeah, that sounds a little funny maybe, but that's what I'm getting. Yep. All right, Deshaun, $40. Thank you, Deshaun, for that 40. Just bless you, God resurrecting you. God wants you to think of resurrection because when we serve Christ, the resurrection is what changed everything. The resurrection is what made everything different. Christ had died on the cross, he hadn't resurrected from the dead, then everything he did would have been, you know, story that became alive, you know. So when you think resurrection thinking, you know that no matter what died, whatever dead, that's why Jesus said, "I am the resurrection," because he, you know, that's what he was trying to get Martha and Mary to think was resurrection. They said, "Lord, you know, if you'd have been here, he wouldn't have died." He said, "Yeah, he's going to live again." And they said, "Yeah, we know in that resurrection in the last days." But he said, "No, you don't understand. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about I am the resurrection." Jesus knew, and the reason he resurrected people is because he knew he was the resurrection. So therefore, he could resurrect people, raising from the dead. So when we think resurrection thinking, we know that no matter what thing has died, we never lose hope. We hope against hope. Because we believe in resurrection, we believe that Abraham was a resurrection thinking person. So, well, I'm going to kill him. Got to raise him up. What? Because that's what helped him obey God to do whatever he had to do to kill whatever he had to take care of. Because he knew if God asked him to do it, he's going to raise him back up. Resurrection. God really giving you that thing to think resurrection, resurrection, resurrection. That way, when God asks you to give up something, yield up something, you know that, okay, I'm going to give it to you. This is my blessing. Like Abraham would say, "Man, this is a promised seed. What do you mean, give him up?" Well, I believe in resurrection, so, okay, I'm a resurrection person. So you can raise him up. So if he went up and he completely obeyed God, he's going to kill his own son, knowing he's going to resurrect him if worse came to worse, better came to better, whatever you want to say. Yeah, so when you start thinking in the realm of resurrection, you start, people say, "Oh, yeah, LeSean, that's going to be raised up in the last day." You say, "No, you don't understand. I believe in the resurrection." And Mary said, "Yeah, he'd be raised up in the last day." You say, "No, you don't understand. I am the resurrection." When you understand Jesus is the resurrection and not just a resurrection coming in the future, then all things become possible. You're willing to give up anything, let anything, you're willing to offer up yourself. And, you know, like Abraham did, and know that God's going to bring it. Anyway, whatever, and it completely brings you into a place of total obedience to God. You don't let something dying stop you, you know, or something being dead or whatever. Amen. Abraham believed hope against hope. Hallelujah. Jeff and Yuki, $100. Thank you, Jeff. You can almost miss that. $100. Thank you for Jeff and you. God, we thank you, Lord, for the same thing with them, resurrection. That thinking like Abraham, that no matter what has died or seemed dead or been, because we believe in resurrection, we can anything can We can fail at anything and resurrect it at any time. And just, resurrection is about believing God can do anything. All things become possible. Thank you, Jesus. Resurrection is complete restoration. It's the death of a thing and it coming back to life again. So I thank you, Jesus, for that coming back to life. It is about obedience. Abraham was able to our obedience is wrapped up in that resurrection thing, because Abraham had, if he hadn't believed in the resurrection, he would have, he might have, that's what he said, God can raise him from the dead. And that's what the scripture literally says in Hebrews, that when Abraham offered up Isaac, it's that God received it as, you know, resurrection from the dead, which meant he had to kill him. And you know, even though he didn't have to, that, but God took it as a death, a burial, and a resurrection. And that's what allowed Abraham to have the wealth he had, because he obeyed God no matter what. When you believe in resurrection, understand what the resurrection means, and we serve the Christ of the resurrected one. You know, firstborn among many brethren, the born again, resurrected one. Yeah, we're not limited to obeying God. We will do it no matter what He says, because whatever He says. You know, like we have to yield things over, offer things up, give our money, you know. Once your money, once that $100 goes into the hands of PG, that's not your money anymore. That's God's money. But it was yours. You gave it. It's yours. Give it to God. You allowed it to die. You allowed it to get out of your hands. But if you believe in the resurrection, you know that that resurrection, that $100 is going to be raised up like a seed planted in the ground. You plant it as one seed. It grows to 100 seeds, so like 100-fold. Jesus said, unless a grain of wheat fall into the ground and die, it cannot be resurrected. Bring forth 100 more from that one. That's resurrection, is believing one can be planted and it comes forth 100 more. A seed of grain of wheat. Hallelujah. Open up their minds, God. Show them resurrection. That's a beautiful word. What an amazing word. It's the very thing that allowed Abraham to offer up and get that blessing from God. Hallelujah. When God said, man, you did it. Man, he passed the test. That was the hardest test of all. How did he do that? Because he believed in resurrection. That's how he's able to do it. Wow. Taste some of the revelation we get here on the show, to me, it's amazing. People think I know all this. Half the time I'm hearing new stuff myself, and most of it's new to me. I know it's true because I know the Word of God, and the Word of God should go in my mouth and go like, well, that's that, that's scripture there, scripture there. Yep, that's God. Done deal. Amazing. It's amazing. It's amazing. It's amazing. All right. Let me look here one more time. All right. No Zelle giving tonight. I guess that's about it. Please. An awesome night. What an awesome night. Wow, what information, my God. Woo! Man, the knowledge of the war is just mind-boggling. Pray for Yuki. Yuki has a hernia. Just pray for her. We're praying for her hernia situation. She's going to have an operation here really soon. And they found a hernia, and And so I thank you, Jesus, for blessing her, for completing her life, breathing life and abundance over her, God, in Jesus' name. She will know that you are watching over her, that you're taking care of her. She has no fear. She fears not. For thou art, behold, fear not, for thou, I am with you until the end. Amen. That means at the end means you live to be 150. That. Correct those things, God, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Bless. Peace over her, God. We speak blessing. We speak healing. We speak the miracles. In Jesus' name, in her body, come forth and be healed right now by the power of God. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. And glory to God. Wow. All right, y'all. I think that's it tonight, as far as I can see. As far as I can see. Don't know how that far that that is. Wow. 360 tonight, Nicole. I mean, that was like 360. Wait. All right, so that is it for tonight. Thank you very much. Thank you, everybody, for your love, for what we do, what God is doing. We love it. We love you. We love it when the money comes in. All cool. All awesome. Yeah. All right, good night, everybody. God bless you. Thank you. We'll talk to you soon. Okay, we love you. Thank you very much for everything. See you. All right, good night, everybody.